Tonight's episode of the Uncle Mike and Tom Show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include the /PWP Radio so they know we sent ya. It's the Uncle Mike and Tom Show with episode number 69, baby. And this week on the show, we're going to have DJ Hyde talking CZW. We're going to have JP Nichols talking Florida wrestling and a whole lot more. But first, I'm Tom Richards. That's my co-host, Uncle Mike.
Hoo-ha.
And we're going to be your party host for the next 2.5 hours. So sit back, relax, and get your indie fix. Because we got all kinds of news, interviews, results, reviews. It's all coming up in the next 2 hours plus right here on your Thursday Indie Wrestling Fix, man. We thank you for listening and checking us out. And before we get on with the show, we got to do some plugs.
Yeah. I got to plug Phil Colvin. I hope you're having a nice lunch on this Thursday. You deserve it.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at Mike Tom Show. You can find me on Twitter at TheTomRichards. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher under the ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is we're part of that family, and that's where you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Uncle Mike and Tom Show. And you can find us at our home on the web at www.indiewrestlingworld.com/Uncle Mike and Tom. And that's all 69 episodes, man, archived, where you can listen to any of the interviews, any of them you want, anytime you want, man. 69 episodes strong. 69 weeks in a row, and we're still on kicking, baby. And, mention Facebook, mention Twitter, mention iTunes, mention the website. I think we mentioned everything, man.
Did you?
Yeah. So, like, tell your friends. Tell your wife.
Tell your plants.
Tell your children. Tell your parents. Tell your plants. Tell your dogs. Tell your cat. Tell your iguana. Tell anyone that will listen, baby. Spread the word of great independent pro wrestling and wrestlers, and that's what we do here, man, every Thursday. So welcome aboard.
If you got pet fish, tell them to. They'd be happy.
Yeah. Dig it, man.
If they're looking at the TV, if the aquarium is positioned where they see the TV, they watch. Yeah. I'll let it for you.
It's pro wrestling. How can you not love it, man? And with that, I think it's time to go get Mr. DJ Hyde.
The boss.
The boss. And joining us up first this week on his show is a returning guest that's been on here multiple times before, and we're always glad he comes back. And this weekend is the biggest independent wrestling show of the year, as it's CZW's Cage of Death 15. And right now joining us on the show is CZW owner himself, Mr. DJ Hyde. Welcome back to the Uncle Mike.
How are you?
Good. Yourself, man?
I'm making it through the day, slowly but surely.
Just freezing goddamn cold up here in the Northeast, man.
I agree with that. It's freezing, but, you know, it's going to get hot come Saturday. Cage of Death.
Damn straight. But until I get the villain gets hot, I'm going to be cursing Zandig for making Cage of Death in December, you know?
Oh, you know, it always was an end-of-year spectacular, you know? We've always done it at this time. I think it's going to do very well, you know?
Yeah.
It's that time of year, you know? Everybody gets in the holiday season to see, you know, the greatest show and then wrestling.
Absolutely, man. This is number 15 already. Man, I started going Cage of Death 3, so this is going to be my 12th straight year of Cage of Death.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to seeing you and everybody up.
Yeah, man, this Saturday night, 7:30, Voorhees, New Jersey, man. Why don't you tell the people about it? It's the biggest show of the year.
Well, you know, we're also going to have that great Q&A going on. You know, doors will actually open at 3:30. Tickets will go on sale at 3. You know, fans can come in. If you already pre-ordered your ticket, you'll be able to walk right in. If, you know, you need to get your ticket at the door, you can get your ticket at the door and come on in and ask all the Combat Zone wrestlers, you know, any question you want for the most part. So should be a good day of wrestling.
That's a pretty cool deal.
We try. We're also live on iPay-Per-View at CZWIPPV.com.
Yeah. That's it. $9.99, man. A hell of a deal.
I think this one's $14.99.
Oh, $14. I've been ordering them every month. They're $9.99. I didn't even know. Since I'm going to be there.
Yeah, the big shows we do for a little bit more because they, well, you know, that cage costs a lot of money to build. we got to make that money somehow. So we charge a little bit more for tickets and a little bit more for the pay-per-view for the bigger events because, you know, we spend a lot more money, so we have to,
absolutely,
we have to make it.
makes perfect business sense, you know?
Yeah.
I never went and looked.
Well, you got to figure most CZW shows are $9.99. That's the deal because there's not many high pay-per-views out there that are that price, you know? Especially compared to, you know, the Dragon Gate USAs and things like that of the world. So, you know, you're getting a great, one of the best products out there, you know, for a great price.
And the key,
you know,
is your pay-per-views actually work.
We've, in our roughly almost 4-year history of doing our pay-per-view, we've only had a problem one time, and that actually was not anything we could control. The Flyers Skate Zone a few months ago, they're in the middle of a $15 million remodel. And they were doing some things with the lines, but, you know, they got that fixed and we're good to go. So, should be a great day of professional wrestling.
Absolutely. Always is. Over 1,000 fans every year, man. It really, really is one of the marquee events every year in independent pro wrestling.
Well, there's not an event like it anywhere in our business, from any country to any level of wrestling. It is truly an event.
Absolutely. And let me say, with two big events going on this weekend, with you and Ring of Honor, you guys have totally stolen all the buzz and attention. As all the talk on the internet has been about Combat Zone and Cage of Death this Saturday night.
Well, I think that all the talk on the internet that after Combat Zone and Cage of Death, you know, and after our competition, it's still going to be about Combat Zone and Cage of Death. Because, you know, there are still a few more cards I haven't shown and tricks up my sleeve. So, you know, but fans got to be there live or witness it live on pay-per-view to just find out, you know, what's going to happen in the Cage of Death.
Yeah, in the main event itself, in the actual Cage of Death, Nation of Intoxication are short one member.
Well, you never know who will show up. I mean, I'm sure the Nation has plenty of friends, and you know they have a wide reach within especially within the deathmatch realm of our business. You know, and you never know who could show up there. I mean, it's just. It's one of those things that, you know, in recent years, you had, you know, John Zandig made a return a few years ago. You've had New Jack show up, you know, in the Cage of Death itself. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in that match. And, you know, I expect something big.
Interesting. Last year we had Robert Ego Anthony, Egotistical Fantastico, show up unannounced. You never know who's going to be a Cage of Death.
Well, I mean, there are some surprises, and, you know, there are some things that, you know, we've really pushed, but, I mean, if you look at what we have out there, I would put this card up against any card in our business and say that, you know, we're going to hit a home run with it, maybe even a grand slam. But really, that's really a fan's choice to decide. So we'll see how it goes.
I think you're hitting a grand slam with this one. This card's fucking awesome.
I agree with that, but you know, at the end of the day, we need as many people as we can to show up and as many people as we can to watch live on iPay-Per-View. So, not only is the card awesome, I think it's very unique, and, it's something for everybody. So everybody's going to get, what they want out of it, and we're going to have some other special things going on during the shows. You know, we got the live Q&A before the show, so, I mean, there's definitely some uniqueness to it and something that you're not going to really find anywhere else. So, I compare this to an event like WrestleMania, where WrestleMania isn't just a regular show. It's an event. Cage Attack is the same. Yeah. It's not just a regular independent wrestling show. This is an event that is unlike anything else in our business.
Yeah, it's become like a whole day of activities, which that's a question I wanted to mention. This year there's no afternoon show. In the last few years, that became a tradition.
Well, we discussed doing a doubleheader earlier this year. And realistically, with the Cage of Death card, it's a pretty long show. I mean, it does, you got to go, and you we have 10 matches, and it's a lot to deal with, And I don't want to burn people out, The other thing, too, is that to build these concepts, of what this cage is not something simple. So we need a little more time to prepare. It's something where it puts a lot of stress on my staff, and the least amount of stress that I can put on them, the better. Being in the Flyer Skate Zone is a lot different from from the years prior when we did this in the ECW arena. We don't have the home field advantage that we used to have, to where we could go in and literally set things up weeks upon weeks in advance. Now we have to do that. We have to make sure that it's right and construct the things here at the CZW Wrestling Academy and, make sure everything's ready to go. And then, when we get to Skate Zone, we have to set it up day of. So, we want to make sure that we take every precaution necessary and everything's good to go. But, you got to figure, I love wrestling probably as much as anything else in the world. And, that day just could get wearing with a doubleheader. So, our next Deadly Doubleheader is going to be with WSU. It's going to be at our anniversary show, and WSU being our sister promotion, I expect that to be a good day. But this is something that is a completely different animal, and I really think that it's going to be wildly successful, and hopefully, we'll be able to do this a lot more.
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense, Cage of Death, man. Every year, these guys outdo yourself, man. The crew come up with these crazy fucking adaptions of the cage, man. You never know what to expect.
Well, I will tell you that last year's design was designed by me.
Right.
I created it. It was my, complete idea. I also need to give credit where credit's due, along with Michael Pankhurst, who's currently no longer with the company. This year's concept, the entire design from start to finish was created by Danny Haddock. And, Danny, anybody knows Danny, is a mild genius when it comes to deathmatch gimmicks and wrestling. And, he's always looking to reinvent himself. So there are a few things in this that obviously, you've probably seen similar things before, but, that we've used, but there's a new spin on it and, a new way to do it. So, and then there's a few new things that I think we're going to try this year. It looks like they're going to, everything that we've kind of constructed already fits what we're trying to do. So, this year we'll have a few new toys along with a few old ones and a few things that are just going to have a little bit different take on things. And, Danny really came up with something that I think is very special and unique. So I look forward to actually seeing this come to life this Saturday.
Sounds interesting.
Coming from Danny, I bet it's going to be brutal.
Somebody's going to die.
Yeah, trust me. I expect this to be, this is Cage of Death 15, and the guys that are in this, you have guys that are in this match for the first time, and you also have some veterans in this match. Devin Moore, you know, he's been the MVP of Cajun Death in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
He has stepped it up. I mean, Matt Tremont is willing to do anything. Danny Havoc is probably arguably the best deathmatch wrestler in the world. You know, Lucky 13, he is always breaking out something new and innovative and crazy that just, you know, he has stepped up his game. And then you add in, you know, Relentless Ron Mathis. And, you know, guys like him and Drew Blood, the master manipulator. Then you got Rory Mondo. You know, he's literally living out, you know, his predecessor or his idol, I guess is the best way to put it, his dream. You know, it doesn't get bigger than this. And Rory's doing something that Mondo never did. Mondo was never in a cage of death, you know, and Mondo is now since retired and, you know, he's living out a film career or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. I don't really have a whole lot of contact with Sick Nick Mondo, but, you know, Rory has stepped up and made himself, you know, a name in CZW, and he's a very dangerous individual. So, you know, it's one of those matches that a lot can happen. You know, there's going to be a lot of specialness to it and moments and craziness and just all out. Anybody that's a hardcore wrestling deathmatch fan, this is your Christmas. This is your biggest present you can get. You know, this is what you've all been waiting for. And, you know, come Saturday, we're going to finally get that moment.
Back in August, six of the guys in this match were in the Tangled Web, and they really delivered big time. Oh. So now you add Matt Tremont to the mix. I'm really excited to see what kind of craziness they come up with in the Cage of Death.
Well, you know, like I said, they're seven very innovative guys. And, you know, plus you never know, there might be an eighth guy. So it's one of those things that you never know what's going to happen. And these guys are some of the best in our business, and that's why they're in the Cage of Death.
Absolutely. If you're in the violence and you're in the bloodshed, man, Cage of Death is for you. But what's great about the Cage of Death show, if the violence isn't your thing, it doesn't matter. The rest of the show is so loaded with great wrestling that...
What an undercard.
There's plenty of stuff for everybody, no matter what kind of wrestling you're into.
If you look at the undercard, there are several matches on the undercard that could be a main event anywhere in the world. Let's just start off with arguably the biggest match. You know, one of the biggest matches in CZW history. You have CZW World Champion Drew Gulak taking on the returning savior of the Combat Zone and former CZW World Champion Chris Hero. I mean, that match alone is an undercard match. That is not our main event. That match is probably, arguably, an indie dream match that you can only see right here at Cage of Death. You know, we have that match the story behind that is just, it's amazing. I mean, when Chris got released, the first call he made was DJ High. You know, he called me up and said, DJ, you know, this is what's happening, and, you know, this is what's going on, and blah, 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 and I want to come back to CZW. And, you know, I have a great relationship with Chris Hero, and I greatly respect him. And, you know, he's a former champion. He's one of my training partners and trainers at one point in my career. You know, and you know, I said I have Cage Death coming up, and he said, this is my moment, you know. And I said, you know, the card's kind of full. And he said, what's Drew Gulak doing? And I said, Drew Gulak's the world champion. He's defending the world title. And I said that kind of sarcastically to him. He goes, well, I'm challenging Drew Gulak right now. He goes, whether it's a Cage Death, whatever show it is, he goes, I want Gulak. And I said, I will make that happen. You know, and the backstory is, you know, I mean, Chris is one of Gulak's trainers. He's one of his mentors. I mean, Drew has literally emulated Chris Hero in many ways. You know, he's a guy that he looked up to. You know, not only, you know, myself for training Drew, but Chris is a guy who literally, you know, there's tons of guys in the independents now that have modeled themselves after Chris Hero. You know, and the fact that he's one of Drew's trainers makes it even more interesting. You know, and the other thing that I think is even more compelling to me, you know, you have a guy that's coming out of WWE. Yes, he's the new girl in school. He's the new high girl, and everybody's trying to get with him. And, you know, Chris Hero's name is it's everywhere. But this is where it all started for him, and I think he realizes that if he wants to get back on top in the independent world and become the man, that this is his opportunity. You know, CZW made him. He knows that. You know, for Drew Gulak, you know, if he defeats Chris Hero, he's the man. nobody, there's nobody that's going to contend for that title. You know, he's defeated, you know, Chuck Taylor. Heck, he beat Masada after Masada's been on a 2-year undefeated streak. You know, tap these people out. It's just he keeps backing up win after win after win. And, you know, he's defended that title in the Wrestling Cares tournament in October, you know, with a successful victory out there. He's taken it all over the world, England, Europe, you know, and just he keeps winning. You know, he has wins over guys like Ricochet, guys like Zack Sabre Jr., AR Fox. I mean, that's no slouch, you know, but by beating Chris Hero, this will make him the man. So, this is a very highly anticipated, especially technical wrestling match. This is a wrestling is wrestling kind of era. So,
definitely, man. Yeah. Drew Gulak really busted out in 2013 and has made a name for himself all over the globe, as you just said.
Well, he's always had the potential. It's just a matter of, you know, he reached up, grabbed the brass ring, and took the ball and ran with it.
Definitely. Well, Cody, you talked about a couple surprises coming up at Cage of Death, and a couple surprises were announced early. Davey Richards is a late addition to the show. Why don't you talk about Davey Richards being added to Cage of Death?
Well, Davey, literally, it was asked of me by a couple of people in the business said, hey, you know, Davey Richards is not wrestling for a Ring of Honor. And they've had some issues, and, you know, I really don't need to get into that because I don't really know a whole lot about it. I just know that Ring of Honor and him had some issues, and that Davey, this will be his last Northeast appearance, that you'll get to see him, you know, on the independent scene.
Yeah.
And, Davey's one of those great guys that you know, he's one of the guys in the students, one of the top guys in this business that, you know, really has made a name for not just himself, but for everybody who surrounds him. You know, he's synonymous with Ring of Honor, you know, as being probably one of the best wrestlers in the world. And, you know, I was sitting in the San Francisco airport on my way to Wrestling Cares this past Friday, or actually Thursday night, and, you know, I got a call from Davey Richards, and Davey was basically like, hey, man, I know it's really late, but I would, like, really like to do Cage of Death. You know, he goes, I really just, you know, I want to do it for my fans. And he goes, I love CZW. He's like, every time I've been there, it's been great, yada, 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 yada. And, you know, I said, Davey, I would love to have you here. Davey's always done good by CZW, and, you know, he's always done good by his fans. And he wanted that one last chance that, you know, for the Northeast fans to see him and to go out there and do what, you know, he does best. Now, you know, my quandary was obviously, who do you put him in there with? You know, and we went out and asked the CZW faithful and said, what do you want to see? And they all synonymously said, you know, the Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickens. And, you know, Monday we announced that match, and literally it's a match that I think, you know, it's going to be stiff. It's going to be two guys beat the living crap out of each other. And, you know, I hope Davey and Chris are – I know Chris is ready because I'm sitting at the CZW Wrestling Academy as we're, you know, conducting this interview, and Chris is in the other room in the ring busting his ass, training as hard as he can because this is probably the biggest match of his career. You know, but I hope Davey is ready for that. But knowing Davey, he's ready for anything. So, you know, I mean, if you just look at those two top matches, I mean, these are the undercards. You know what I mean? So it's going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
I got to give you credit. I did see, like, he's put out who should we book him against. And without a doubt, the majority of people are all saying Dickinson. And I got to give you credit being a company to put that together, doing what the fans want. Because
there's a lot of matches that I think we've come up with this year that it was like, hey, man, it could only be done in CZW. That's a match that you would have never saw that match anywhere around the world, but CZW could make it. You know, another example of that is another undercard match that I think if those two styles aren't for you, maybe you don't like technical wrestling or hardcore wrestling or hard-hitting wrestling. Maybe you like comedy. You have Greg Excellence taking on $5 Wrestling's Freight Train. You know, Greg with Mama Excellent making her Cage of Death, Undertaker-type appearance. And, you know, and Freight Train, you know, representing Pepper Parks and Cherry Bomb. And he'll have this beautiful, gorgeous Cherry Bomb at his side. And, I mean, think about that match and what that's actually going to be. I mean, I laugh just thinking about what those two guys are going to do, you know, but it's, where would you see that match happen? Only in KJ, only in CZW. And it's literally just, it's one more testament to what we do.
I don't think I ever in my wildest dreams thought of Freight Train at KJ.
You know what's funny? If Freight Train goes out there and him and Greg steal the show, because they could. That could be, we had Greg Iceman's wrestle Cole Cabana, and that match was ridiculous and hilarious. Think about what adding Freight Train into this is going to, I mean, it's just, the possibilities are endless, man. It's, you never know what's going to happen in that match. I mean, Train's a very unique individual, but so is Greg. And then you add his mom and Terry out there, and it could be something that's like nothing else, that's for sure.
That is definitely the truth. Another late addition to the show you announced last few days, Willie Mack coming in from California is going to be part of the show.
Well, you know, we actually had some changes to that match, too. You know, Caleb Conley recently got injured at an Evolve event, you know, where doctors said he was not going to be able to compete this weekend. I mean, he will be back in the combat zone very shortly, you know, attending his, you know, medical release. There's nothing we can really do about that, but we've added Willie Mack to that card, and you know, by pulling Chris Dickinson out of that, we also left us with another spot open that we have yet to announce, but might as well just put that spoiler right out now. We're going to be adding Tony Nese to that six-way scramble match also. So you're going to get to see Latin Dragon, Tony Nese, Andrew Everett, Willie Mack, I mean, and AR Fox, you know, in a six-way scramble. And for some reason, I feel like I missed somebody there. And it's Chuck Taylor. How could I forget Sexy Chucky T? You're talking about right there. There's probably six of the top talents on the independents right now, all one match. And these are all some great high flyers, aerial tacticians, you know, and guys that can really do it all. And, I mean, just think about that match, too. I mean, you have A.R. Fox and Andrew Everett and Tony Nese, Chuck Taylor, Willie Mack, and Latin Dragon all in the same ring at one time. And it really could be something special.
I'm crying just thinking about it. Honestly,
man. This Saturday night, Cage of Death, man. It's the place to be. If you can't be there, it's available on iPay-per-view. And we haven't even mentioned your feud with Ohio is for Killers comes to a head this Saturday.
Yeah. Six-man tag in a gender with OI4K, Jake and Dave Chris, along with the beautiful Nevaeh, taking on, you know, myself as well as Sozio and Biz Busick, and they are the front. You know, myself and OI4K have been feuding here for the better part of the end of the year. And I mean, if you just look at some of the matches that the six of us have had, and, you know, Jake Chris doing his first ever death match in his hometown, in Ohio, No Rope Wild Wild against yours truly, DJ Hyde. And, you know, some of the stuff that we have done has just been mildly epic. And I mean, you got to understand, he went out there in front of his hometown, in front of his family, in front of his daughter, his 10-year-old daughter, you know, did a No Rope Barbed Wire match, I mean, you know, and lost. You know, and those guys, you know, they tried to make some fun of me, you know, and now, you know, there's three of them, well, now there's three of us. You know, I've hired the front to come in and take care of business, and so far we have. You know, and if you just look at the men that are in that, Biff Busick, probably, you know, the most talented guy in the indies that has not blown up. I mean, the kid is utterly amazing.
Yeah.
Sozio, the former Niles Young, huge reputation in CZW. You know, and DJ Hyde speaks for himself. I mean, I'm easily the best heel in the business right now, and I say that with confidence because I am. All right? And, you know, and you take on Jake and Dave Chris, as far as my personal, you know, feelings towards them, you know, as a wrestler, I mean, you can't overlook their accomplishments. They're easily one of the best tag teams in the world. You know, multiple trips now to Japan and internationally to Europe. You know, Nevaeh is blowing up the indie scene. She's showing up at every top women's promotion from WSU to Shimmer, Shine. I mean, she literally is becoming a household name in women's wrestling now. And you know, I will give them credit where credit's due. But, you know, let's see what happens come Cage of Death.
Definitely, man. This Saturday night, 7:30 p.m., Voorhees, New Jersey, Flyer Skate Zone. Biggest indie show of the year, man. Cage of Death 15. Let me, I wanted to ask you, changing up the subject a little bit, how about a medical update on anything new on Masada?
Masada has been rehabbing his knee for quite a while now. He has been going to physical therapies and, you know, all that craziness of pro physical therapy. I know that because he has a pro shirt. If you want, I can tell you that Masada currently is in the other room in the wrestling ring, and he is, you know, working towards his return. I mean, I can go grab him if you want. I mean, Christine Von Erich in there with him. You know, Chris Dickinson's here. Joe Gacy. There's a ton of the CZW roster is training tonight. Literally, I stepped aside and you know, to do this interview, but they are working hard and you know, preparing for the biggest show in the, you know, of the year and probably the biggest show of a lot of their careers.
Yeah,
definitely. That's good to hear that Masada is going to be coming back soon.
Well, you know, I mean, he's still got some, you know, obligations that he needs to take care of with, you know, the doctors and things like that. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, he'll be there at Cage of Death and, you know, he'll be supporting all of his CZW brothers. And you never know. He might just make an appearance. So, you know, it's he hasn't been, you know, seen in a CZW ring in quite some time. So, you know, hopefully, you know, his knee gets better and, you know, he can, you know, perform back to the ability of what Masada truly wants to and who he truly is.
Definitely. Another thing you recently announced is CZW will be debuting in Providence, Rhode Island at the Fit Music on April
27th. Right. That came about through our association with Beyond Wrestling. Obviously, that is the home building. And Beyond Wrestling is kind of a feeder program for CZW. You know, I'm very heavily involved with Beyond Wrestling, with my partnership with Drew Cordera, who is, you know, through WSU. You know, you look at guys like JC Dunn, Dave Busick, Chris Dickinson, they've all come out of the Beyond era, and, you know, it's something to where we've built this bond, and now we're going to bring them, you know, the best wrestling in the world. You know, we're going to give it all to them, and, you know, come April 27th, I don't think Providence, Rhode Island is going to be ready for what Combat Zone Wrestling is going to do up there.
And that seems like an awesome venue to run in. They've been packing it for Beyond Wrestling and real ruckus crowd. I think CZW in that building is going to be something special.
So do I. I mean, I think that's, you know, there's some other dates, you know, that we haven't announced yet and some things that we haven't really put out there that we have confirmed. CZW will be going back to Dayton, Ohio in May, on May 31st. And, you know, we're going to be debuting in Michigan this year. It looks like we'll be also debuting in New York City. You know, we're going to be hitting the world tour. You know, we're going to be going all over the place. Our European tour, you know, last year was 3 weeks. Looks like it's going to grow even more. You know, where I think we did 8 shows last year. I think we're already up to 13. So, you know, and some of those shows, you know, you'll be able to get your first chance at them live at Cage of Death for any fans out there that want to get them, get the World Triangle League. It's going to be a banner year for us, you know, and I'm going to try and take CZW everywhere. You know, we've been talking about doing Chicago. I know we've already begun talking about doing WrestleMania 2 years from now and, you know, taking it out to California for the first time. So, you know, it's going to be something truly special. And, you know, with things like WrestleCon and all that, you know, under our belt, you never know what's going to happen in 2014, but it should be the biggest year in the history of CZW.
Certainly sounds like some big major plans coming up for the Dub, man. Exciting stuff.
Lots of major plans. I just need money, 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 money. Hate being poor. So, but, you know, that's where, you know, you guys come in and the fans come in. We're going to bring you a product like nothing else. You know, KDF is just the first step. You know, show up. You know, and support CZW. Support indie wrestling. Support your favorite guys. You know. I mean, Chris Hero will have brand new CZW t-shirts, you know, a lot of the guys are merchandise, Masada, you know, if it's something you want to rep and support these guys, you know, show them what you can, you know, not just me, but just indie wrestling in general, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you know, show your love for the business.
DJ, could you comment about buying into WSU or becoming the partner with WSU.
Co-owner, yes.
When you came out, I was like, oh, thank fucking God.
Well, WSU, I mean, we can change gears a little bit on the WSU. Obviously, we've worked with them in the past, and it just kind of made sense. But with DJ Hyde, and what CZW can help support with them, you know, where we have a brand new website that we'll be launching probably here shortly after Cage of Death. It's technically up now. It just needs a little more updating, like pictures and craziness. But, like, it's the new WSU.com. You know, fans, you can check it out right now if you want. There's some updated information on there. But obviously, we're still working on a few things, like the roster page and things like that. You know, we're looking into getting title belts, which hopefully we'll have by February. And literally starting to give them a women's product that is different than everything out there. I don't want the PG-13, you know, simpleness. You're going to see women be women. You're going to see hot women that can wrestle, you know, that, you know, you're not going to see these girls are just, oh, they're cute and that's all they can. They can't work. They're not good. You know, you're going to get to see deathmatch wrestling in WSU. You know, we're going to bring in some great hardcore women. You know, I think we most recently did that with Saraya Knight and Mickey Knuckles. And Mickey Knuckles now is, you know, going to be a fixture within WSU, you know.
God.
On top of, you've already got great women, you know, in the combat zone that work there, like Kimberly's, the Christina Von Aries, the Cherry Bombs, and the Nevaehs. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to try to give fans, you know, a women's wrestling company that they can be proud of and that is truly uncensored. You know, you'll hear them go out there and drop an F-bomb on the mic or something. It's not going to be one of these PG-13 things that you're seeing in a lot of, you know, professional wrestling nowadays. It's something that I think has a great deal of potential. And hopefully we'll be able to really give fans what they want.
Cool.
Sold me on it.
thank God.
Well, yeah, I think that's been a good thing. I've been to all the doubleheaders, and I think it's worked out really well with WSU and CZW working together. So it's good to hear, you know, that it's going to continue and go even more deeper, and that it's almost like one big almost like a CZW women's division now.
Well, that's kind of a thought, but kind of more that we want to focus the women just in WSU. We're obviously going to have some women's wrestling in CZW, but we definitely want to keep it going more and more in WSU, and you know, we're looking to run more shows than we ever have with WSU that is ever done in history. We're looking to run upwards of 10 to 12 shows this year.
Ooh, cool.
In a couple of different venues and doing a couple of other different things.
Good.
Because the product's definitely improved since Drew took over, you know, and the switch over and a lot of the talent's been a major plus and definitely going in the right direction. And the attendance seems to grow every show, too.
Well, I think it's because the product is delivering, and that's really not just a testament to Drew and myself, that's a testament to the talent that's out there in the ring. I mean, I always give credit where credit's due. The talent is the true, true thing that, you know, supports CZW and WSU. The guys and girls that are out there doing their all to make our products great, you know, they truly love CZW and WSU. It's their home. It's a family here. It's not just like, you know, another wrestling promotion or some place that they show up and they're like, thanks for the payday. You know, it's something that a lot of people take pride in. And, you know, I'm not saying all of them do, but I know a lot of them deeply care. And the fact that they care makes it special. And that's why they go out there and they do what they do for the fans.
Yeah. Cool.
Definitely. And they'll, like you said earlier, they'll be back in February, WSU, running with CZW doubleheader at Voorhees, New Jersey. Another thing we wanted to ask you about is we wanted to ask your opinion on the old ECW arena going to be reopening in a few weeks.
My opinion, if you want my opinion, I will tell you that I don't think it'll reopen in a few weeks.
No, you don't think that? Like, yeah, you've been saying that it's not going to happen.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm saying this, okay? I'm not going to say Extreme Rising is going to have a show and it's not going to be in that building. The ECW arena is gone. It's dead.
Yeah, it's totally.
Everything you guys knew, if fans out there don't believe me, just drive down there, okay? Just go there. You'll see. All right, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's not the same. People are going to try and go back and try and get that relive that feeling and relive that moment, and they're not going to get it. It's not there. The bathrooms are gone. There's no plumbing in the building. I was there yesterday. Okay, in the building. All right, there's no door to get in the front yet. All right, they're trying to build one. It's a big wooden structure right now. Okay, I mean, DCW Arena wasn't the nicest, cleanest area as it was. Now it was underground. It was a special way, but now it's different. You know, and it's truly not what I think fans are going to want. And when they get in there, they're going to see that, and I think they're going to get disappointed. And that's my big fear. I think that it's going to scare a lot of people away from just wrestling in general. And, you know, Extreme Rising is going to have, you know, they're going to put on a great show, man. I think they're truly going to. But they're banking on the building and the nostalgia of the building. And things that, you know, obviously the building's trying to help them get ready, but they're talking about bringing porta pots in that building. You know, I mean, and put them inside. You can't do that. You know, I mean, like, you can, but, I mean, who wants to? You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if anybody that saw the Barbed Wire City premiere, the building's the same. That's what it looks like.
Wow, they haven't
you know what I'm saying?
Anything, huh?
So, I mean, the ECW arena is gone. Will CZW return there? Maybe. Is there anything set? No. There's nothing set. You know, I mean, if they complete the blueprint that they had done and they do all the construction and, you know, put all the stuff that they're talking, I mean, you're talking like, you know, Roger only took that place back over 3 months ago. And they're trying to spend millions of dollars. And right now in the Northeast, there's snow on the ground, it's cold, nobody's working on that building. You know what I mean? Like, I was, and fans, like, you don't got to take my word for it. Because you know what? I could be completely full of shit. All right? I really could be. But go down there and look yourself. Walk in the building and go, I don't know how they're going to pull this off. You know, it's 2 weeks out. You don't have a door. You know, I mean, don't have a door. Look at my bathroom. You know, the closeness is gone. The snack bar is gone. Everything is gone. It's depressing to me. Wow. It's like I spent more time of my life in that building than I have in my house.
Yeah.
It makes me sad when I go in there. It truly depresses me where I go, man, I remember this was here. I'm not just as a wrestler, you know, I've main evented that building more times than most people have. As a fan, I was a fan. I was going there when I was 13 years old, you know. I mean, I saw the ECW. I was sitting up there just like everybody else,
mm-hmm.
You know. I was a kid, you know, a teenager going in there watching some of the greatest wrestlers in the history of our business.
Yeah.
But it's not the same, man. It's just not. It's sad. You know, it's like going in the home you grew up in and you're trying to relive that, like, yeah, this is where you know, I made the notches on how tall I was when I was younger. Yeah, I remember this moment. You just walk in there and it's like the walls are gone, you know? Everything's gone. It's just like it's a frame. You know, it's a framed house. That's what it is right now. And you know what, man? They can go in there and pipe and drape and make it, you know, try and make it look somewhat good. That's great, man. That's all power to them. But you know what? To me, and I think it's going to be this way to fans, because I'm a fan. I love this business. Every single aspect of it, I love it. Even the bad stuff, which I got to deal with all the time.
Hmm.
You're going to go in that building and you're going to get sad. You're going to look around and go, say DCW Arena. This ain't Alhambra. Say where CZW the Cage is. This ain't where I saw a heat wave. Or the, you know, this ain't where I came down to the corner of Swanson and Ringer. It ain't. Those days are gone. And they're not going to come back. And that's the downside. Joanna Pang ruined the building. Okay? Mm-hmm. She destroyed it. She basically demoed it. Since then, they've done some work. Sure. Is it going to be where it needs to be? We'll find out in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And it really is, like, really disappointing to hear, you know?
Yeah.
I was hoping maybe they did do some work on it, like something nice, some kind of nice little setup.
But man, fans, all you gotta do, fans, drive down there. Just drive down there. Pull in the back, walk out, walk in the back door. Walk in for 5 seconds. Even if the construction guys kick you out or whoever Roger has working there, look around for 2 seconds. You'll see what I'm talking about.
There you have it.
It's all gone, people. It's all gone.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's in 2 weeks, this Saturday night, just 48 hours from now, Cage of Death 15, man, at the Flyer Skate Zone, Voorhees, New Jersey, the biggest independent wrestling show of the year, and it's upon us. We're going to be there live. You should definitely do the same thing, man. We thank you for joining us this week once again here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
No problem, guys. I always love being on. And fans, you can check out CZW at CZWrestling.com, or you can get the iPay-per-view, which the pre-order is up right now, at CZWIPPP.com. Follow us on Twitter at Combat Zone or Facebook, Official Combat Zone. And I am DJ Hyde. You can find me at DJHyde_1, Facebook and Twitter, or email me at DJHyde at CZWrestling.com.
Hey, DJ.
Yeah.
Before we get off, I just got to know, because we were looking at the lineup the other day, and you were bringing up you were in the airport for Wrestling Care. How in the world did your match with Drake go with no
cheating?
No cheating. How did that go?
What I remember of it is, at some point, I got dropped on my head, and that was about it.
Oh, wow.
all I remember is I took a Drake's landing, and Drake got the victory. It was a very frustrating match, I think, for both of us. So it was basically 4 minutes of us goading each other into trying cheating, and then the next 6 to 8 minutes, it looked like we're in PWG.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, watching that match back, because I had, the guys there, let me watch the tape, I think me and Drake, we have put on a great match. DJ Hyde got to please come back, champ, where fans typically hate me. So, which was a little weird. And, I think Drake was happy with it. And I know their office, the guys, the bookers, the great Les Thatcher and Nigel McInnes, they're screaming in the other room. The great Les Thatcher and Nigel McInnes were very happy with it. And, we had some special guests that said some good things. Austin Aries was in attendance, and he really complimented me on the match. I mean, Drake was not really around. He had to go. But, it was a great show. Wrestling Cares if anybody out there hasn't seen Wrestling Cares, pick up the DVDs. The best wrestlers in the United States, competing all for the Race to the Ring, and now it's come down to the finals. And realistically, the finals of that is probably, in my mind, the two best guys in independent wrestling with, CZW's trained and homed and grown and current Ring of Honor and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Champion, Adam Cole, who will be taking on the current reigning defending the Freedom Gate Dragon Gate USA champion, Johnny Gargano, in the finals here, in January 18th. So, it really speaks to the testament of what our business can do. And it's a truly unique concept. So I think fans definitely need to check out those shows and those DVDs. And you can get those, at highspots.com, the car video, or even at the Wrestling Cares website.
Yeah, it seems like real good shows. Sound good to support.
They are amazing shows. I'm not going to lie. The talent there is some of the best talent you'll ever see in the world.
Cool.
You certainly couldn't book a better final, that's for sure.
That's true.
Yeah, because when we saw the thing, I was like, wow, how in the world are DJ and him going to be able to wrestle without beating the shit out of each other?
Well, this isn't the first time we've wrestled a wrestling character. This is actually the third. It's gotten to this point.
No, well, the stipulation was no cheating, though, and I'm thinking, how in the world are they going to pull that off?
Well, we did, and we did a quite good job of it. So,
that's cool.
Unfortunately, I fell to the hands of a Drake landing. So, you get dropped on your head, sometimes you don't get back up right away. it was truly a great match. It was truly a great show. Talents like Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, Papa Don, Steve Anthony, just to name a few. I mean, they're some of the best wrestlers in our business.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Thank you again for coming on the show, man. Cage of Death 15 this Saturday night.
Thanks, boss.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Later. Perfect. I want to tell everyone that you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial with Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books. With a library of over 150,000 titles, users can purchase individual books or for real savings can sign up for an Audible Listener program, which gives them book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Sign up for your free 30-day trial by heading to audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. And don't forget the /PWP Radio so you can get your free trial at audiobooks today. And now joining us on the show for the very first time is we wanted to talk some Full Impact Pro Wrestling, and we figured why not bring on someone that actually lives in Florida. So who else better than J.P. Nichols of Free Admission for Real website. Welcome to the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm glad to be on. I apologize that my condition isn't of best. I mean, feeling a bit under the weather, but very happy to be on here and talk some pro wrestling.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to talk some Full Impact Pro because a lot of people don't really talk about Full Impact Pro on the Internet that much, you know?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, like, FIP's been sort of, at least in my opinion, based off since their reboot since February earlier this year, they've been, like, a very fun promotion overall and have had some really strong matches throughout the year, like, particularly, like, two that I would mention are, like, John Davis and Samurai Del Sol from March, which I think is, like, one of the most undersold matches of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Trent Beretta and Rich Swann in October actually had a match that I actually thought was best that I've seen out of either guy, even better than their Dragon Gate match they just had. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, there's, like, a lot of really good people that are in FIP that you don't really get to see too often elsewhere, such as Lindsay Dorado, yep. Dos Pendejos, yeah. etc. Maxwell Chicago, who's really one of the best kept secrets, in the business, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And really should be seen a lot more elsewhere. But, yeah, I mean, they've had a good year. Very good year.
Yeah, I echo pretty much everything you said. Like, we've ordered every show that's been on iPay-Per-View, so we've seen, I think, every show but one. And pretty much I've enjoyed them all for the most part. And they've put on, and some of the shows are really strong. Like you said, a lot of talent you don't get to see on a monthly basis, a regular basis, unless you live in Florida. So it's been a pretty good deal for $9.99 a month.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, one of the main things that with some of the earlier shows, not so much lately, I guess. I mean, with, like, the past couple double shots, I mean, due to things like talents falling out and whatnot, but, like, originally when they first started back up in the reboot, it seemed sort of interesting to see, like, a bit more, like, not necessarily unknown names, but, like, as an example, like, on the first show you had guys like Corey Hollis and John Skyler working on the show, and, like, a couple other random names such as that appearing, and at least on this double shot, got to see the Washington Bullets, also from Georgia as well, who I thought had good showings both nights.
Yeah, that was, and, like, the first time I really got to see them.
Yeah, and it's, like, with the way that the promotion works, it's, like, basically taking a lot of the best talents from Florida, mixing in with some guys from the Northeast, maybe a bit of the Southeast, from, like, Georgia, as an example, like I said, and giving all them a place to really just put themselves on and have good matches, and then potentially end up on shows like Evolve and Dragon Gate. So,
exactly. It seems like they get a van full of guys to come down from the Northeast for each show. And mix the best from Georgia and the Carolinas with the best from Florida. It's been a pretty good mix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
They're getting very little buzz, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it comes with the fact that, like, I mean, more often than not, like, obviously they get some coverage from a few big websites, but, you don't really see, like, the events really put out there too often. Like, as an example, I mean, like, you know, you usually see, like, the Facebook event pages with the shows, and that's really sort of what you're limited to when it comes to finding out about the stuff. I mean, I suppose Twitter on occasion, but it's like, it's almost like you pretty much have to wait on the event page and refresh and then hope for the best.
That's the truth.
I mean, that's just what I've noticed, and it's unfortunate because, I mean, you know, with, especially with, like, the fact that when they were seemingly running shows like once a month, like at the very least from like February through August, I mean, even when you include Evolve 22 in there as well, which is pretty much FIP with a bit more stack, like they were seeming to get a bit more momentum, and crowd attendance was really showing that. And then, like, as an example, this most recent December show in Ybor, like, it was a bit lacking in terms of overall attendance, which is unfortunate, I mean. But it all comes down to, you know, building an audience and sustaining momentum.
How is the Ybor City venue for watching the show live?
Oh, I think that the venue is fantastic. Like, obviously, there's a whole bunch of promotions that have ran there in the past. I mean, including FIP. Shine obviously runs there regularly. Chikara had a show there earlier this year, which actually, ironically enough, I thought was the biggest attendance I've ever seen for a show there, like standing room only of all things. Wow. And with the fact that it's like so tiny, like I wouldn't necessarily compare it to Reseda for PWG as an example, but that's sort of what it feels like. In terms of the fact that it's just very cramped and very intimate and makes you, like, really into the show. Because, the whole thing is it's a concert venue. So, I mean, it's like a club. So, like, and those kind of venues always, like, work really well with independent wrestling, in my opinion. I wish more places, like, tried to utilize stuff like that.
I agree. Like, one of my ideas in the back of my head was always to start, like, a bar promotion that just does rock clubs, you know, and have like these bar shows and these rock clubs that be at least that have like a great feel to it, if nothing else, and a bunch of drunk crazy fans.
And to say the least, at the Orpheum, a few of those have come out in the past. I remember vividly actually at like one Chikara show, at the Chikara show in March, how there was one guy that just was constantly shouting in each match for someone to get kicked in the face, like every single match, and it was highly annoying, but made for a great crowd reception when someone eventually did get kicked in the face.
I do love the venue for iPay-per-view.
Oh, God,
like, it's one of them venues where it doesn't matter the crowd size. It comes off really good on TV, and it doesn't really affect the feel of the show. Which, like, the show, like, we're going to talk about on Friday, where there was very few people there. As great as the show was, like, the atmosphere was kind of crappy, you know? At least in Ybor, that doesn't seem to be a problem.
Well, that comes down, I mean, like, when it comes to, like, the venue size and whatnot, I mean, that is the venue that that ran Ring of Honor Mania Weekend now going on 6 years ago. Jeez, wow. Like, it just goes to show how much time has flown.
Really? Ring of Honor ran there?
Yeah, that's where they ran Mania Weekend, WrestleMania 24.
Oh, weekend. That's it. I was thinking of an Ybor City.
No, but yeah, I mean, like, that place is pretty big, and then, you know, that's actually one of the issues with 15, if I recall correctly, in St. Petersburg, where the venue was sort of big, and because of the way that iPay-per-view feed audio translates, like, it really sort of takes away from the atmosphere a bit, which is really, I mean, why I'm glad that they have found the Orpheum and have made for a, like I said, a much more intimate and fun environment overall.
Exactly. So we'll start with the Friday show. They were in Orlando, and like to me, like the building, like it seems like it'd be like a really great building if we're able to pack it with fans. But unfortunately, it looked like on iPay-per-view, it looked like maybe 50 people there. Does that sound about accurate?
Maybe a bit more. I mean, the show honestly had at the very least, I think the show had more people than the Orpheum did.
Really?
Holy
shit. Like speaking of Orpheum, what do they average there approximately?
I'm always terrible with crowd estimates, but they usually get like about 100, 200 usually. I mean, like that's what they were getting like over the summer, but unfortunately, like since they took like a month or two off, you know, with like between August and October, and then between October and December, a lot of that crowd sort of like, I don't know what they were doing, but whatever it was, they were not at FIP, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. Do you go to the Shine events there, too?
I have not been to one, actually, since 11, right, when they crowned the champion. For a while, I made it to, like, every single one, with, like, the exception of, like, two, and then I have not been to one since then. I wanted to go to the one in October that was the international show. that had Saray and Havoc with Last Woman Standing, etc. But unfortunately, schedules sort of clashed and couldn't pull it off. And I can't make it to the one that's going on this Friday, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, hopefully I will be able to make it back soon.
But on average, like, do they outdraw the FIP shows or no?
A couple, that Shine 11 show had a very big crowd, like, actually, like, I mean, I think that also comes down to, I mean, with, I keep going back to it, but with the fact they, you know, building momentum, and they were really hyping that show up for a few shows between Shine 9 and 10 particularly, like, saying, like, oh, this is the show to be at and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and it really paid off with, like, a big attendance, but, I mean, I have a buddy that's been to, like, the last three that I have not been attendance for. And I know that he said that I want to say the one in August did not do so well.
Right.
And then the two after that, which would be September and October, did pretty well. Hmm. So
interesting, because you really can't tell watching on TV what kind of attendance they have at that place. So I was very interested in how they've been doing, if it's been steady or going up and down or growing. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster with that. Like, lots of ups and downs here and there. I mean, hopefully, like, for this upcoming Evolve Triple Shot in January, they should be able to, hope with that roster, which is, like, ridiculous with how stacked that roster is for those upcoming shows, hopefully they will be able to get all three of those venues packed between Ybor, Orlando, and Jacksonville.
Cool.
You'd like to think that, but it Evolve, you never say never, man, with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate. I mean, like, I remember vividly how I actually, one show in Fort Pierce about 3 years ago, Fort Pierce, Florida, of all places. It's like, what's Fort Pierce? I mean, you hear Fort Pierce, and it's like, what? And that place had legitimately 500 people with a show with the likes of Mike Quackenbush and Craig Classic. Tommy Taylor and Sean Spears, the Sheik versus Gunner of TNA. It's like, wow.
Wow.
And it just all comes down to, I guess, like proper advertising and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always say you can't come to a show if you don't know what's not happening, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that goes for a lot of promotions, man. There's like a league that runs like literally a few blocks from here. It's like I won't even know the show's going on. It's like, if I don't know your show's going on and you're a few blocks from my house, you're not doing a good job advertising, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, like at the very least, I mean, like, with someone like me, you know, obviously I stay pretty in the loop, but yeah, for like the average Joe that like, you know, just basically will be like, you know, oh, wrestling show? Yeah, I'll go. I mean, like, a lot of these people, they really need to have a bit more out there than just, you know, having a seeing an event page, I guess.
So Friday night, they were in Orlando, Florida. And
right.
First time they did iPay-per-view from this building, and the iPay-per-view ran off without a hitch. It was one of the best streams I think WWN Live has ever had.
Well, that's fantastic, at the very least.
And Evolve's running that same building in January, correct?
Right, right, on Saturday, that second weekend of January.
Cool.
So that's good, so I guess that'll be an iPay-per-view live, and hopefully
right. It
will work. It opened up with David Starr against Latin Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, it was a match.
Two CZW guys, students,
yeah.
That made the trip down. I think David Starr is a kid that's got a lot of potential to be something really special.
One thing that I wanted to touch on before we really broke down these shows is one thing. I'm not calling the shows bad by any means, but like these shows really took a bit of a hit, I felt, from the lack of Gran Akuma because he was not on the shows on account of the flu.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's very unfortunate because, and honestly, like, as well, the lack of John Davis the last couple, last four shows has really shown as well.
I agree.
I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm probably one of the bigger Davis supporters out there, but I mean, I just don't understand a lot of the hate that he usually gets, but it's like, I mentioned earlier how, like, he's been on fire in FIP between, like, his matches with Trent, the Samurai match, etc. And it really showed, I mean, with the fact that he hasn't been on the last four shows, and then losing Akuma as well, who was one of the better highlights of the October shows with his match with Swan.
Yeah.
You know, it's very unfortunate, but hopefully again, you know, when FIP does her next show, both of them will be back.
I think the thing with Davis is, like we're fans of Davis, and he's really good, but I think in Dragon Gate and Evolve, like, Gabe kind of, like, jammed down everybody's throat, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when you're being force-fed something, you know, it's like, you turn on it, you know? And I think that's exactly what happened there. Instead of letting him, like, get built up organically, kind of, like, force-fed and kind of, like, jammed it down at this is our top feud, Davis and Gargano, whether you want it or not. And I think there's a lot of people grow negative on that. And I don't think it's really... John Davis is a really good worker, so I don't think that's really a reflection on him.
Well, that was a common thing, even with Gabe booked in Ring of Honor. I mean, look at Eric Stevens, one of my all-time favorites. when he beats Aries and Danielson in a double shot when people aren't very familiar with him, didn't exactly respond to that very well, unfortunately.
Exactly. That was a perfect example.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, back to the opener, though, not to derail or anything, but, David Storm seems like he has a lot of potential. I mean, I've really have only seen him based off of his FIP appearances that he's had. I mean, he had the one in July in addition to this double shot, but he seems very charismatic. If anything, I mean, this match, it was, like, sort of short. Like, I think it was under 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it was very short, so it was, like, didn't really get to see necessarily a lot from him, but with the fact that, like, he was supposed to originally get a Heritage title shot against Akuma, I believe, on the Ebor show, it was a, you know, fine way to continue to build him up, and then probably when FIP comes back, they will do that match again, or do that match originally.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Star went over in the opener. Maxwell Chicago took on Johnny Vandal.
I was not exactly happy with the result of this one, because it's like, now Maxwell's streak is over. I'm not sure if that's really caught on with you all, the iPay reviews or not, but it's like, he's been undefeated. I mean, not even pinned or submitted. When Havoc beat him on the October shows, but it's like, you could go with the cliche TNA undefeated streak where it's like he's been defeated, but he's not really defeated.
He's never been pinned.
Yeah, but this match was thrown together because Akuma wasn't there, though, right? This wasn't the planned match.
Right. I'm trying to remember offhand who Maxwell was supposed to face. I want to say he was supposed to face Josh Hess, but I could be wrong.
I know it wasn't Johnny Vandal.
Right. Yeah, Vandal was supposed to face Akuma on this one, but yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate because it's like Maxwell is like, I mean, I've mentioned it before, but he's fantastic in like everything he does, and I was hoping that his eventual streak could lead to either a Heritage title shot or a World title shot, but after two losses this weekend, not looking so hot.
Yeah. Like Maxwell's Chicago, he's based in Florida, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was so pissed, like, when Chikara went down there, you were talking about the Chikara tour march. I thought for sure they would book him on them shows, and he would fit so well in the Chikara world, and it didn't happen. I was like,
it's like him and Artie Evans. Like, there you go. That was, like, perfect match. Instead, you do Artie Evans and Ovarian. It's like, okay, sure, why not?
Exactly.
It just makes no sense. But
I almost spit my beer, you were so right.
Man, if somebody's booking a promotion anywhere, it's listen to this. Book Maxwell Chicago versus R.D. Evans now.
Or Giant Tiger.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I mean, because there's not really, like, any real comedy. I mean, I'm not knocking Maxwell's ability as a wrestler at all, but, I mean, you know, obviously he does a lot of comedy wrestling, and there's not really a lot of that anymore with the loss of guys like Larry Sweeney. Delirious doesn't wrestle often anymore. Artie Evans, obviously, I mean, not that he was always comedy, but since Chikara's taken a nosedive, you don't see anything like that, and it's very different and unique, and I'm a big fan of stuff like that, and, you know, unfortunately, he just doesn't get used as much. I mean, and I'm personally hoping that he's on those three Evolve shows next month.
Yeah, I hope he is.
I think he will. No, I think wasn't he on? He was.
He was right. He went to the Evolve shows in New York last month.
Yeah, exactly. He had a match with Trent, lost to Trent, and then he was also in one of the style battle matches on the first show.
Yeah, so he'll probably be in the Evolve shows next month.
Did you watch those Evolve shows?
Yes, I did. Unfortunately, I felt like, he was definitely one of the most liked people there. I mean, it really shows with him. I mean, because it's like he went to a market that, he's never been to, as far as I'm aware of, and he really caught on with the audience, and, unfortunately, hasn't been brought back. He wasn't brought back for the two Dragon Gate shows, and he should be, as far as I'm concerned.
He will in the long run, but how scary is that one place, that one?
Brooklyn
that place looks scary, man.
And then they went back there on Dragon. It's their new home now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but they packed the place, man. It looks like hell, but they're packing it. So good for them.
Yeah, no question of that at the very least. But
somehow they did a working eye pay per view from there, man. You can do an eye working eye pay per view from there. You should be able to do it from anywhere.
No kidding. That place looks very terrifying.
It looks like a backyard fed to set up a ring in an old abandoned building and said, let's do this, right?
It looks like Apocalypse Now or something, you know?
It was, very, very frightening overall. Oh, yeah. But,
I'd be afraid to go in that building.
I'm probably
going to have to one of these days.
but hey, at least people showed up.
Yeah.
So, can't beat that at the very least.
Well, he finally did what I was saying all along, is find a place in the Northeast and just keep running there, and you can actually maybe build like a following,
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of running all over the fucking place where nobody even knows you're there.
Nobody's there, yeah.
I mean, and that Queens venue as well that they've gone to, I'm a big fan of as well, actually.
Yeah, I've always liked that place. It's on the small side, but it works for like something like Evolve really well because they don't drive great anyway, so it's perfect for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting back to FIP, so then we had, like you said, Johnny Vandal.
Roll up with the tights, or roll up with the ropes on Maxwell.
Yep, with a helpful kiss from Trina.
Yes, that's right. But
so Max got some.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy Vandal. I mean, I personally feel like he's probably one of the better guys that is coming out of Florida right now. I mean, I don't know if I feel like Kevin the Scene is necessarily, like, a good fit, necessarily.
I don't think Larry Dallas is a good fit with anybody.
Yeah, well, I will say when it comes to Larry Dallas, obviously he gets a lot of flack from the internet, but when it comes out to, like, when he gets that moment where he comes out and then he gets just beaten up, I mean, obviously the main event promo, like, he took a vicious kick from Roddy, that I thought was marvelous, and like it's usually what ends up happening. I mean, whenever he's in FIP, he usually gets his comeuppance, gets destroyed in some manner, and that's usually all he does. I mean, and I'm all for that.
They don't destroy him enough, though, so that he doesn't come back. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, fair enough. But I mean, hey, on the Ebor show, he got destroyed pretty badly.
Yeah, he did. But back to Johnny Vandal, he's grown big time in the last couple of years because we saw him a while back.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, he popped back up on the FIPs, and I said right off the top, wow, he's in great shape. Kid's looking good, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's done a few tours of Japan. He's coming off recovery from an injury, too, over the last few months because he got injured on Evolve 21 against Lindsay. He's been looking pretty good. So, I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, I like Johnny Vandal, and it's one of the pluses of FIP. It's really the only chance we get to see him up here.
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
So then we had the Washington Bullets taking on Collab Conley and Andrew Everett. Andrew Everett making his FIP debut.
Yes.
Yeah, very happy with that one.
I bet you were.
oh, he's fantastic. I mean, one of the best high flyers going right now. This match was sort of weird at times. Like, it seemed like each time Caleb and Everett were going to make their big comeback, Bullets kept cutting them off. Like, I felt like that happened once or twice. I mean, and then it was just sort of like the match kept going. I mean, it was still enjoyable overall, but it was sort of weird in that sense to me.
Say what you think, and then I'll say what I think.
It was the first time I've seen the Bullets. I didn't think they were bad. I thought they were solid.
Yeah.
But I love Andrew Everett, and Clive Conley is one of them guys where he's another one where, like, he had, like, hasn't had the best run in Evolve and Dragon Gate, but outside of them places, he's been tearing it up in a lot of places, having really great matches.
Yeah.
So it's like, go figure.
And him and Everett are like, I mean, that's a good pairing for him. I mean, if they're going to use Everett in a tag capacity, obviously, I would be all for him if they were to use him more in a singles match capacity, but...
I agree.
Like, personally, if it were me, that would be what I would do. But, I mean, if they're going to put him in a tag team, that's a good usage of him.
Definitely. I'm just happy they're both here.
Yeah, I like both Conley and Everett. Now, this is just my take. This was just Friday. Bullets were good-looking kids, showed... obviously, some lack of experience. They weren't ready for certain spots. That was another thing. They weren't ready for spots, it seemed, and mistiming with Conley and Everett. But they'll be fine. They're young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to be amazing in a matter of no time.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was a fun little match. Yeah.
Originally, I was really excited when they originally had announced Roderick Strong versus Andrew Everett for night two.
Yeah, I'll say my piece on that one.
What, you would have been going home in an ambulance?
God.
Yeah,
not
exactly
too happy over that one, but it is what it is.
So Conley and Everett got the win, which played in and ended up getting a title shot for the tag titles the following evening.
Right.
Speaking of the FIP tag team, actually, for next up was the FIP World title, as Lince Dorado took on Trent Beretta, or Twent Crestermark, or whatever the hell you want to call him here. And excellent match. I think Lince Dorado has been one of the highlights of FIP since its return.
Yeah, very much so. And even, like, on their Evolve Florida Triple Shot, like, he had some great showings in that six-man match, as well as the Fox match, which I think is, like... one of the more wild matches I've seen this year. I mean, particularly that ending, which was completely fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And Lince, as you said, I mean, he's, like, been highly underrated. I mean, it's, I mean, just based off the fact that, I mean, you know, he mainly wrestles in Florida strictly. I mean, and he should be working elsewhere, I mean, for sure. I mean, and him and Trent worked really well together. Trent is, like, I mean,
Amazing. Obviously
he got off to a slow start, I guess, when he first was released, but he's
tearing it up everywhere.
Yeah, he's gotten really good,
Yeah,
I mean, like, obviously the Kyle match at Bola, the recent Swan matches, like, he's been on a good tear. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what more they can do with him going forward.
And jacked the shit out of me when he won the FIP World title from John Davis.
What'd you think of that when that happened? That was like a shock to me, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, it's like, I guess, you know, with one, when with that, excuse me, with the fact that he won, I mean, he's a recognizable name at the very least, especially on the Florida scene from time spent in the likes of FCW and NXT around here. So, like, a lot of the people that do attend FIP also do go to the NXT tapings as well. So, it was one of those things that I guess, you know, I give a more recognizable name, and, you know, obviously he's earned it. So, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trent ended up going over and retaining the title. Yeah. It was an excellent match.
Yeah, it was.
You know.
I got to bring up one thing. How about Lince's cat, Adnix, in the middle of the
match?
Oh,
yeah, that was...
They're hysterical.
I thought
he was a circle. The one that killed me was whacking at the tag rope. You know what I mean? In the one corner, the tag rope dangling, and he started going with his paw like that. I was laughing my ass off. I was like, holy shit, he's like kicking ass.
Amazing,
small, stupid shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Lince Dorado since the Chikara days, it's someone you definitely got to check out.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, like, with I know I mentioned it before, but he had, like, a three-match series with Fox when you factor in their first match back in Evolve 16 They had a match, I believe, a semifinal match in Peterson Cup last year, and then they had their third match earlier this year, and it's like, each one ruled a lot. It's like, and that's also not just a testament to Lindsay, but also a testament to how good Fox is. So.
That's awesome how you can actually remember what Evolve numbered shows are that should happen.
I have a very good memory when it comes to shows that I attend. Like, very good memory. I can't quite explain it. Like, I couldn't tell you about, like, necessarily shows that I've watched that I did not attend, but if I attended it, pretty good memory, surprisingly.
How would you like to try to remember back to 75? That's where I'm at, bud.
that there I would probably be lost.
God damn. You know?
Fuck yeah, man. It gets better with age.
It gets better, all right.
But that's awesome. Evolve 16, you can remember that. It's like, fuck. I remember it happened in Evolve, but God loves me. I couldn't tell you what number this show or that show. I don't even remember what show number they're on. You know?
Yeah, indeed. I was going to say, the next match may have, like, taken the memory out of me at times.
What?
I enjoy Josh Hatz a lot, but like this match felt like it was almost an Iron Man match.
Yeah, well, this was thrown together. This wasn't planned, was it?
No, don't think so. I know Cooter was scheduled to wrestle. I don't know if he was necessarily scheduled to wrestle Josh, but this one like felt like it went on a while.
Wow,
like a long time. Might still be going.
Hey, were you still in earshot when he did his interview? At the end?
I vaguely heard something about crystal meth.
It was the dumbest interview I ever saw in my life.
About
I
doing crystal meth before his
shit.
Match and shit.
I'm out in the car
insane.
Getting hopped up and messed up, and I'm thinking, what the fuck is he saying this shit for? You know?
Like, there was one thing about him that really caught me off guard. Well, not necessarily off guard, but it really hit me. I'm not sure if either of you watched the show Workaholics.
No.
No.
I've seen episodes in the past, but I don't watch it regularly.
He looks just like the character Blake from that show. It's like unbelievable to me. Yeah.
That's funny. I thought he was Al Snow Jr.
With the gear, that absolutely.
I thought he was Al Snow Jr. But, yeah, like, who the hell comes out and says they're all fucked up on meth? I mean, what kind of message is that to society? I mean, I drink, but at least that's legal, you know?
Well, I mean, he's a real cooter. He does what he wants, apparently.
So does Josh Hess. I take it he's a local Florida guy?
Yeah, he's one of the Believe students. I think he's a lot of fun. I actually had a lot of fun with his match on the second show, where he was basically just, all he was trying to do was impress MSL. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if any of that really...
I'm an MSL guy. Remember the show?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he just kept constantly going over to him and was just like, you know, watch this, watch what I'm going to do. And then he'll go get knocked over, and he was just like, oh, that was a mistake. It was, like, very good comedy. I thought it was very enjoyable.
I'll tell you what, though, it didn't come across like that on iPay-Per-View.
No, it didn't. I was going to ask. I'm not surprised, unfortunately.
No, like, tell the truth. Like, it didn't come off like that, like he was trying to improve.
No.
I mean, MSL was out scouting. But they never went out of their way to, like, focus on Hess saying stuff to him or not. They were just showing the match, and that was about it. They really didn't go after that.
That's unfortunate.
Maybe they should have.
He had some really good lines. Some really good lines on that Ivor show.
So then Earl Cooter got the victory in this after 8 hours of competition.
And meth.
And meth.
Yeah, the match after the next one also went a long time. So we
that deserves to be.
Mia Yim and Jessica Havoc.
Yeah.
Went at it.
I don't know if Havoc got injured in this match.
I know, I'm wondering the same thing. She hasn't said nothing publicly, but she was scheduled the next night and didn't work.
Yeah,
and it seemed like she injured her leg at the end of the match. And I don't know if she was just working or what. If she was working, she was selling really good.
Because they had a really good match at Shine last year, and I thought one of the better matches Shine has had, and this one didn't quite match up to that.
No. But they both worked really hard, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't for lack of trying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, like with that one, I mean, I guess it all comes down to, like, positioning and whatnot on the card. because that one, I want to say, was like the second to last match of the show, something like that. And like this one, it was not necessarily a buffer match, per se, but it was one that was like not necessarily meant to be as important on the show.
Yeah.
It was good, though. This is just me. Obviously, I don't think Jessica was hurt. She had to sell she was hurt. Not that she was losing to Mia Yim, but she lost to Mia Yim, and she likes saving face.
Yeah, but it was weird, though. She didn't work the next night when she was scheduled.
Nah.
Yeah.
You haven't heard nothing? You haven't seen nothing? Haven't heard nothing about an injury? Then there you go.
The Mia Yim did pick up the surprise victory.
Yeah.
After
a
450.
Yeah, and then Mia wasn't even at the show the next night either.
Yeah.
I mean, which was also sort of weird to me. I mean, considering that was the big ending to Mendejo's feud.
Yeah.
But, you know. But yeah, I mean, match was fine. You know, if I can say anything about it.
Then we had Jesus De Leon, Eddie Graves, and Teddy Stigma versus the Dos Mendejos and Pinky Sanchez.
This match, I thought, I enjoy everybody involved, but God, this match did not need to go that long.
Yeah, that was, I liked the match. It was wild, but I agree too. Like, fuck, man, this match is long, man. You know,
and like they did, like, you know, this big dive sequence towards the end that just also felt like it took a long time to set up. I mean, the whole thing felt like an eternity.
Yeah,
like, I remember a buddy of mine sat next to me, like, claimed that the match went like a full half hour, and I was just like, wow.
No, I would believe it after all was said and done and the interferences outside and everything. Yeah, that was a long damn match.
I remember what I tweeted after the match. I was like, I think they had a lot of good ideas in mind, and in theory it was all good, but in execution, not everything was great and it kind of went long. But I think in theory they had good ideas. It just didn't all come together the way they probably wanted it to, though.
Right, like... And like I said, I enjoy all the guys in the match. I mean, 450, Jesus De Leon in particular, is like, he really has shown some big forms of improvement. I know that he just went overseas to All Japan.
I didn't even recognize him when he first debuted for FIP, actually. I didn't even know it was him. He was so much better than the past.
Who the hell did we ask that?
I asked Phil Colvin.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said he was from Chicago. He's like, it's 450. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he's using his full name now. It's like, you know, if that's what he wants to do, it's fine. But I was sort of surprised when he was making his debut, and it's like, oh, I actually know this guy offhand.
Yeah.
And obviously, Dos Mendejos have been, like, one of the most improved tag teams of the year. Pinky has been very enjoyable. Like, it's sort of funny because between the last three shows, obviously, Pinky has wrestled Graves and Stigma, and I was sort of getting into the idea that obviously, they've now had an interaction three matches in a row. But I'm sort of for it if the idea behind it were to be like, Pinky brings in a new random tag partner each time simply to face them. I mean, like someone completely obscure from the indie scene. Well, not necessarily obscure. I mean, but obviously, like, in October, he teamed with Slick Wagner Brown against him. Then the night before, he teamed with Lindsay against them. Just, like, keep going for, like, random independent names.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Like, I can say, like, if FIP were to book Pinky and John Walters against Stigma, I would be all for it.
Wow.
John Walters, he lives in Florida, so why not?
Wow. I'll tell you what, though, that Eddie Graves shows a lot. Like, since the first time I ever saw him on Chikara to, like, now, he really shows a lot of improvement and moving fast. Telling stories, working the crowd. Like, Teddy Stigma's good, got a good look and everything, but like you said, De Leon, I said to him, I says, wow, this kid's got a great fucking look right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and hopefully, I mean, you know, as it continues to go forward, he gets, I mean, even if they were to just simply have him be in a tag team full time with Sasso, I mean, you know, that would be like a fun little thing, but I feel like there's a lot more momentum to be had with him as a singles.
All right. Let's get this out of the way right now. What the hell is with this Sasso Rivera? He looks like a prelim wrestler when I was a kid that would be on TV getting jobbed left and right. He's a fat slob. I mean, maybe he's the nicest guy in the world, nicest pipe. He should not be on high pay-per-view.
I just like his sideburns, so.
What? This past show, he looked like a cross between Andre the Giant and Lou Albano. Tell the truth.
Yeah, well,
don't
I mean,
tell me you got the guys in the room sitting there with you. You're holding back your laughter, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, I can't remember the exact comparison that Pinky made to him. I know it was Andre the Giant was part of it. It wasn't Lou Albano as well. There was one other name that he referenced. God, I'm trying to remember. It was something on the mic. It may not have even made it on the iPay-Review. I just remembered you guys had the iPay-Review issues, so, unfortunately. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think that, I mean, you know, they continue to have him be a 450 special enforcer. I think that's a fine usage of him.
Yeah, it is. Him and Larry Dallas, they should tie them together and tie him in a knot and throw him in the ocean down there.
Well, yeah, I suppose. But...
But, so, like, what's his deal? He's a local Florida guy?
As far as I know, anyway, yeah.
You don't even know where they
got him. Yeah, well, it just sort of popped up out of nowhere. Yeah. When 450 debuted, it's very random, very random. And then, obviously, wrestled twice in October. And then,
Nevor City was terrible there.
Oh, God. Undercard for that card was crap.
Oh, what, the October Ybor show?
The one where
that
she
was the
wrestled.
Weakest show they've
I could not believe. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is on here.
I don't know about that, just simply for the fact that the October Orlando show, I mean, like, that one could have been a bit better. Like, the October Ybor show, I at least give a bit more praise just because of Beretta and Swan.
That
Orlando show, like, as an example there, they could have done, like, instead of doing Bendejos and Bravados again, they could have gone with, like, two singles matches with the two, which is something that I personally would have been much more excited for rather than do the match again, you know, that they just did the previous night, but,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And, I mean, at least that show also did have Akuma and Swan, which I thought was great, and the Chase and Lindsay blow-off was also good, so, but, like...
You were there for that, right?
Yeah.
Because we never saw that. How about that?
Yeah, it was your review of the show. I decided not to order the pay-per-view on delay.
I mean, I thought Akuma and Swan had a really great match for 30 minutes. And I actually, I mean, originally when these shows were going to happen, I thought that this was going to be a rematch after they went to a draw. But, you know, they didn't even book that to begin with. And then Akuma got the flu anyway. So it is what it is.
Yeah. So then that brought us to the whole main event situation as it opened up with Roderick Strong versus Rich Swann.
Yeah, which I thought was a very good match.
I was loving it.
While it was going on, like, they had their match in PWG, Failure to Communicate, I want to say, which I wasn't too high on, surprisingly enough, considering the two involved. I mean... Like, you put Roderick with a high flyer and it singles, and it's usually always made for a good time, and, you know, that one just sort of under-delivered a bit, I thought. But this time around, I mean, with the fact that Swan has improved a ton this year, like,
definitely.
You know, he was always good, don't get me wrong, but, like, he's gotten, like, really good in the past few months, and it's really shown, and he and Roderick meshed a lot better this time around, and, obviously, I mean, they didn't get to have not necessarily a full match, but, I mean, with the fact that it had the ending that it did, which led to the impromptu main event, you know. Like, it felt like to me that they could do another match between those two in a singles, and it would really rule a lot.
I agree.
Wow, you weren't too high on the match from PWG?
No, that one I honestly was a bit disappointed by, like, surprisingly enough. I mean, like, and it's weird because, like, that one, I mean... It was good, don't get me wrong, but I was expecting, like, a really good match considering those two, and it was just sort of like there, I felt. But this one I really enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, not too high. You should have
spoken. Well, it's easier
more.
For this one to stand out because the rest of the card is nowhere near PWG level.
Well, there are some pairings that's very, I mean, it doesn't happen often, I mean, but it every now and then it does happen where, like, a match may not deliver as much in PWG as it does elsewhere. Like, actually, even the main event of Bola Night 1, granted it wasn't the exact same match, that six-man tag, a couple weeks before, Ring of Honor did Bucks and Hooligans in a 2-versus-2 tag, and I thought that match was probably one of the best matches Ring of Honor has had this year.
Right.
And that main event on Bola, I mean, it was good, don't get me wrong, but, like, I wasn't, like, blown away by it like I was that tag. And then even ACH and Steam also had a recent match in Ring of Honor, and then I actually liked that one more than their match on Mount Rushmore. So
did we just watch that last night?
What? Mount Rushmore?
No, I think
we watched Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I think.
That was a show from.
That's right. No, that was Steen. Well, I just think I watched that Steen and ACH recently from Ring of Honor.
Steen was in the main event.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the show with him and Briscoe.
Yeah, that's what we watched last night.
Also had, I want to say, like, Davey and ACH.
Yeah,
and,
Davey and ACH. I knew ACH had a match with ACH and Davey. That's why I was like, I knew he had a match with one of the top guys.
And Roderick and Jacobs, which I've heard a lot of really high praise about.
Oh, that's real. You didn't see that yet?
No, not yet, unfortunately.
Wait till you see that match. That's probably the show stealer. To tell you the truth, I love that match. Red Dragon against Corey Hollis and
Kyle
partner.
Bobby Fish and Mike Posey.
And Posey, like that starts off like that's good, you know. It's a good show.
Yeah.
That's a real good show. Check it out.
Yeah, will do. I will say the ending of the impromptu main event on this show did surprise me a bit. I mean,
shocked
not necessarily
me.
In a bad way,
no.
per se, but it did catch me off guard. It's sort of funny because it's like a lot of people always have said about Roderick for like the past couple years in Ring of Honor. It's like, oh, he's done everything. What do you do with him? And the most easy solution to me was you find a high flyer and you team him with him, and it will make for good times. I mean, it's happened multiple times. Obviously, the biggest example of that would be him and Jack Evans, excuse me.
Yeah.
Him and Pac. I mean, I'm sure there are other examples that I could probably think of, but those are the main two that really come to mind. And it's like, you know, it's something very easy to do, and Ring of Honor just never pulled the trigger on it, and then yet FIP figured it out in one show.
Right.
Yeah, but that's because Roderick's a measuring stick, I think. Not a measuring stick, but it's like, all right, you got Roderick. You're going to, like, let's just say Willie Mack, anybody, Willie Mack, fucking Drake Younger, you're going out there, you're fighting Roderick. You know you're getting...
You better have a great match, or you're getting.
You know you're getting an amazing. Well, you're going to. What match with Roderick Strong has never been good? I can't think of any within the last 10, 12 years.
Mike Bennett, Border Wars.
Oh, he has to think of something. And who better than to bring up Mike Bennett? Because I don't see nothing in Bennett. I really don't. I don't think Bennett's. Bennett, even though he's with Maria, I don't see nothing in Bennett. I really don't.
I mean, he's had some good matches, though, in some of the recent house shows. Like, I actually thought him and Jacobs had a good match. And then, actually, the singles matches with the Wolves, I enjoyed both of those. I mean, even though I feel like there are people that Ring of Honor could be utilizing more instead.
Yeah.
Chiappa being the top example.
Yes.
But, or Silas Young would be another one.
Oh, my God.
It's like with Roderick, I mean, he just hasn't been necessarily put in a position in Ring of Honor lately to have really good matches, although, ironically enough, as I say that, he's had, like, some of the better matches. I mean, apparently it was Jacobs' one. The recent London match was fantastic. I mean, he's actually, the Gargano match with Mount Rushmore was also great. It just comes down to the fact that a lot of people have always said, you know, it's like, what more can he do? And then, you know, I was just pretty impressed by the fact that FIP was like, okay, we know what to do with him. Boom.
Yeah. Cool. And he was already there and, you know, a big star there before. But back to the Bennett. Bennett, though, when we would see him on, like, PWX or shows that weren't involved with a Ring of Honor, They were like his best matches.
Yeah.
He definitely excels better outside of Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, also, I mean, he has that Steam match on Saturday, which... With the fact that it's a brawl, I mean, I feel like it could be a good time, but, you know, I mean, stretcher matches in general are just like... Unless it's Brock Lesnar or Big Show, it's like... How many good
Kevin
stretcher
Steen,
matches?
Kevin Steen, baby!
Yeah, I always got faith in Kevin Steen will make it work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, I hope Steen kills him. not kills him, but I hope he at least breaks his neck and puts him in a hospital so he can get some bigness with Maria in the hospital.
Well, that would be the payoff to the feud, would it not? The whole thing sort of started with the fact that Bennett ended Wimmer's career, and then, you know, well, what more fitting of an ending, right?
No, I agree.
True. Very true. So Roderick Strong and Rich Swann are your new FIP Tag Team Champions as they defeated the Bravado Brothers to win the titles. It really shocked me, but at the same time it makes sense since the Bravado Brothers are now the Open the Dream Gate Tag Team Champions. So since it's all kind of like the WWN network of promotions, I guess having two tag titles is kind of meaningless anyway, you know?
I mean, at the same time, like, I sort of wish that, I mean, granted, I guess they may be able to and, like, Dragon Gate evolve. I mean, I was sort of hoping that in FIP they would get, like, an opportunity to face, like, other tag teams in the bottles. It is. I mean, because obviously they've been facing the Bendejos now for legitimately four shows in a row now. I mean, well, with this being the exception, obviously. But, excuse me, that's not to say that going forward they can't necessarily face other teams.
Well, get ready, buddy, because guess what? We figured it out. The minute they won the titles, I tap Tom. I go, get ready. Next FIP show, Young Bucks will be going after them for the titles. Just remember that.
I wouldn't complain. I could tell you that.
They're coming in for them shows.
Yeah, I mean.
So there you go. There's Roderick and Rich Swann's opponents, the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you for sure. I would not complain one bit.
But I thought the Bravados and Strong and Swan was awesome, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole thing was, like, really enjoyable. I mean, like, you know, obviously, you know, something could be said about the fact, oh, Roderick and Swan didn't have, like, a real ending. But, like I mentioned before, it's like they left enough for there to be, excuse me, more of a match while at the same time having a good impromptu match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So... You know, it was a good ending overall, for sure.
Definitely.
For the outcome of what it was, it's in a way, it's good it squashed that match. Because you could always go back to that in case of something. So it worked out the right way.
Right.
So then that brought us to Saturday night in Ybor City. Changed. They usually run Friday nights in Ybor City. And this time around, Violence is the Answer on Saturday night. Did that change attendance at all, did you notice, on a Saturday night?
No, honestly. I think there was a concert the night before, which is why they couldn't get Orpheum for the Friday. I've always been sort of curious of that. I mean, like, you know, obviously, they like Friday. Also, with this one, it also had an earlier start time as well.
7 p.m. instead of 9.
Which, obviously, I wasn't complaining about because it meant that I got to drive home sooner.
Yeah.
But,
Was that because they had a band coming on later?
Yeah, they did, actually.
Yeah, I called it. I said, that's why they're going early, to get everybody to fuck out there, because the band's coming on.
Yeah, they had something that was definitely supposed to happen after the show was done. But, that later start time, it seemed to be like a benefit to them in a lot of ways for shows that I've been in attendance for there, just because of the fact that downtown Ybor is sort of crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sort of brings in the random wanderers from the street. Not necessarily like, when I say like random wanderers, it makes them come across like homeless people when I said that. But no, I mean like, you know, random partiers, I guess I should say, to be more specific. And then it's like, oh, wrestling, I'll walk in here. Sure. I was fine with it overall. No complaints here with that earlier start.
So it opened with Josh Hess taking on David Starr.
Yeah, he got he took some brutal punishment in this match. I'm not sure. This is all going off of, I don't know what you all saw on iPay-Per-View. Did you all see when he took that military press to the floor?
We really didn't see much. It was mostly frozen all night. So we know all the results and whatnot, but
yeah.
Match-wise, we missed like 90% of each match.
Oh, that's too bad.
Constantly
one thing about this show as well is, usually when I've been to shows at the Orpheum, they usually keep that venue super cold, like, which is a nice change of pace from usual independent shows, because, like, usually you think independent wrestling, and then you think, oh, no air conditioning.
Yeah.
But this one was, in fact, one of those shows. It was very hot in the building, I thought. I was, like, dying as the show was going on.
Well, you should be glad. It's 20 degrees here, and we're freezing.
I mean, I was like, here in Florida, it's not exactly winter. It's, like, very much so 80 degrees right now. Give or
very
take.
Jealous.
Wow.
Yeah. It was not exactly the most pleasant experience. It was very, very draining, would be the word I would use. Like, it really took a lot of the energy out of the building. But,
I wish I would sweat my balls off down there.
This is pretty much just a squash. I know I touched on it before, but Hess was doing a lot of comedy with MSL where he was just like, all right, now watch me. I'm going to go up and do these moves. And then David Starr lays them out. And he's just like, oh, no, that was practice run and things like that. It was very funny. But then David Starr proceeded to destroy him. I mentioned it, but military press to the floor, I just was like, wow, that was very not safe at all. But, if that's what they're okay with, then why not? And David Starr ended up pinning him, which continues to give him more momentum. And, by the next time FIP decides to run, probably looking at a Florida Heritage title shot against Takuma.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. They then did Bullets versus Eddie Graves and Stigma, which I thought was a better showing for the Bullets overall. Yeah. Just for the fact that you had an actual, like, face-heel dynamic here as opposed to the night before with sort of face-face. That was a bit of a problem with that Orlando show. It was like there wasn't, like, a lot of real established dynamic for the matches. Like, there's a lot of face-face matches and, not a lot of, like, really established stuff like this. And made for a better showing from the Bullets, for sure.
I thought they shined a lot more in this match, too, compared to the night before. They looked a lot more at home with Graves and Stigma.
Yeah. I mean, because, Graves and Stigma got to worked them over. Bullets made their comeback and looked better than it did the night before, and made for a better match overall. So, can't complain. Earl Cooter beat Maxwell via DQ. Can't say I was a fan of that as well, but Maxwell's antics were once again on point, to say the least. Very fantastic as always.
Yeah.
Then what was the match? Oh, Lindsay and 450. I was actually sort of disappointed by, considering the two involved. I thought it would be like a really good match, but then it ended up developing into a tag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pinky at the bar again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was at the bar pretty much all night. Like Yeah. Well, he was just sort of hanging out. But then it developed into a tag. And then I believe Sasso actually took the pin. Your friend, he took the ball.
Our friend now.
it was fine overall. Vandal beat Latin Dragon with an assist from Trina, which wasn't really much. Oh, go ahead.
No, I agree. It really wasn't not too much, but she interfered enough, just like the night before, for Vandal to get the win.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question while you mentioned Trina Michaels. Do you find her attractive? Like, I can't believe people paid to see her have sex. It just, like, blows my fucking mind. This porn star.
I mean, I could see where some people, I guess, would call her pretty. I mean, when it comes to, like, discussing stuff like that, you know, it's like a cliche to say, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I guess.
So, you know, I mean, you know, like, I guess I can see why some people would call her pretty. I mean, I don't necessarily feel like she may be my cup of tea.
For sure. You're not blind, good.
Yeah, you're not blind.
Like, but, you know, I can, I mean, I guess I can see why some people may. But, like, next match after this was a tag title match, Swan and Roderick versus Everett Conley, which, yeah, I was pretty disappointed with the fact that Roderick and Everett didn't get to happen in the singles. I mean,
yeah.
Granted,
yeah.
I wasn't necessarily looking forward to Swan and Conley too much, so I was sort of willing to let it slide.
I think that would tear the house down.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, I wasn't necessarily, like, looking, I mean, I wasn't necessarily saying, I was saying, like, oh, this match is going to be bad or anything, but it wasn't necessarily something I was too hyped over, while Roderick and Everett was something I was very hyped over.
Yeah.
So I was, well, so it was sort of something I was willing to let slide a bit, but I felt like they, you know, they probably could have had more of a match. That's not to say it was bad, but, you know, like, considering the guys involved, I felt like they had a really great match in store, and I don't know if it necessarily hit that level.
I thought it was real good.
What we've
like,
seen of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
exactly.
it was very good, don't get me wrong. Like, certainly, I would say second best match of the show, for sure. But I felt like they just could, like, if they had wanted to, they could have even done a bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like, I actually agree, it felt like it's one of the matches I definitely want to check out when I watch the VOD.
Because we can't really give a proper perspective on it with the freezing up all night long. And it did every match, dude. Every match it froze up.
That's very unfortunate.
I planned to rewatch it this afternoon, but I suck him to a nap instead.
that was a better idea.
Yeah, you'll have this.
Leva and Sue were in the Shine Showcase match after.
Yes.
Yeah, which, it was okay,
yeah.
I guess. You know, would be the main thing I would say about it. I enjoy Sue's antics, and obviously Leva's a really strong fan base of the Orpheum, but, I feel like, you know, just as the show went on, it just, you know, I mentioned it before, but it's just like as the show went on, it just got very tiring after a while just because of how warm it was in the venue.
Right.
And in this match particularly, it sort of showed that because people were just sort of like drained and, you know, and were waiting for the main event, which the main event I thought was really awesome.
It seemed like, from like what we've seen of it, it seemed like it was fantastic.
Like, bravados are really, really good. I know that's shocking to everybody, but it's like, they've gotten so good, and it just, I mean, they've really shown it in FIP, and the Dejos had a really great showing, had a lot of really great moments of the match, with, you know, Dallas getting destroyed through the guardrail. some really great sequences, like, particularly, I want to say it was Lancelot did a hat trick driven suplex, and he sent Cruz and the Bendejos into a ladder, which was pretty devastating.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah, just a really, really good match. Really good way to end their feud. And, yeah, a good way to close out the year for FIP overall. And then post-match, I mean, they had Graves and Stigma come out who laid out Leva, and then they have sort of made a challenge for them, so that's the new feud going forward.
Yep.
But, which I don't know if I necessarily was a fan of that sort of ending, I mean, just because of the fact that it was the end of the year, it's like, you know, have a happy ending, and, you know, send the fans home happy, but at the same time, I mean, you know, it sets up a future program, so, you know, I can understand that.
Yeah, I see both points.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's all good.
Yeah. I mean, but those shows overall I thought were, you know, all right. Like, I sort of felt like that they were weaker from, you know, the usual standard that FIP has sort of set for themselves earlier this year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I mentioned it before, but the loss of Akuma, I felt really did sort of hurt it a bit, you know, in terms of, like, just getting, like, that other good match to bring the show up even more. But, you know, that's not to say that shows were bad or anything like
because
they weren't bad. It was just like, you know, from how good FIP has been this year, it was probably on the weaker side of shows overall.
And
but still had, both had still, like, two very good matches on each show that I would say are both, all four of them are going out of your way to see.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I think 2014 is going to be real big for FIP if they really put their head to the grindstone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and they absolutely should. I mean, you know, because like I said, they have a really good roster. One thing that I didn't touch on about them that I really like a lot is the fact that, unlike most independent promotions today, they use, like, real music.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, granted, I'm like, with Ring of Honor, like, I like the majority of their theme songs, but it's like, you know, like, they use, like, more well-known music,
I guess
is a better way of phrasing it.
Oh, that wasn't good enough?
What did you say before?
Nothing.
No, yeah, that's something that a lot of people aren't doing because they're afraid of copyrights and whatnot.
Yeah, it's something that I really miss from independence from years back. So that sort of thing is sort of encouraged by me. And with Orpheum, and as they continue to expand to, like, places like Orlando and whatnot, like, it should hopefully be a good year for them next year.
Hopefully.
It will be. You got the Young Bucks coming. Me personally, I would love to see Bandejos against fucking Zero Gravity. I think that would be off the charts.
I was going to say Bandejos and the Bucks.
That would be fucking great, too.
You're probably going to get that.
We'll get that next weekend that they run.
They'll probably fight them before they fight for the tag team championship against Roderick and Swan.
That's even a tag match they could do at the upcoming Evolve Triple Shot if they wanted to, Bandejos and Bucks.
Hopefully,
those shows are very stacked, but it's like there's a good amount of Florida guys that they could put on the show. I mean, between Bandejos, Lindsay, 450, and Maxwell, namely Vandal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully all of them manage to find spots on the show.
I agree. Why don't you tell the listeners about free admission for real?
We've been pretty inconsistent lately, unfortunately, just based off the fact, like, scheduling issues and whatnot, like, between school and whatnot, like, haven't been able to put on audios as much as we normally do. But, I mean, with the fact that, like, as of now, I mean, I'm, like, done for the semester and whatnot, should be getting in some good stuff going towards the end of the year, like recapping all the big stuff in 2013. Mainly, you know, I like to talk pretty much everything that I enjoy on there. I mean, everything that I've watched, really, which would be like WWE, TNA, Independence, Japan. So, yeah, I'm going to have like a big year-end recap and whatnot, discuss like all the big positives and here and there, probably some negatives, because that's always one of my things when it comes to wrestling. Like, I always like the great stuff and the worst stuff.
I hear you. Sometimes you got, like, that stuff that's so bad it's good that you kind of, like, you know, have to check out.
That's always been one of my mentalities when I came to attending TNA back in, when they ran here regularly, where it's like, either give me stuff that's really good or really bad. Do not give me in between.
Right? Exactly.
You know, makes it much more fun that way.
And unfortunately, TNA always gives you the in-between.
Well, I mean, well, in all honesty, the last set of tapings that they had down here, they had a really, really wild way to take out AJ Styles, honestly, which it was one of those matches where it was like, if it were in the Jeff Jarrett era, it would have not worked at all, but because of the fact that it's something that is done so rarely now, it worked, and it made for, like, really good reactions, just as simple, but that was certainly the highlight of those last few tapings that they had down here.
I guess I'll get to see how it worked out a month from now.
Yeah. I mean, like, legitimately, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like, they tape very far out. Their little last go around here. Potentially last go around if WWE gets a Hall of Fame at Universal.
Yeah. I'm coming down to Florida next November for 10 days, and I'm hoping to take in some wrestling down there while I'm there, you know, whether it's TNA if they're still in business, or NXT or some indie shows. I'm hoping something's going on, man.
Yeah. I mean, well, the NXT, I enjoy NXT. I mean, I sort of feel like it, I wouldn't necessarily, well, I mean, like, I know, like, a lot of people online usually do, like, I see a lot of people, like, go nuts over a lot of the things on there, and I don't necessarily feel like I go as nuts over some stuff, but the shows themselves are pretty fun to attend. It's, like, a fun atmosphere, even though, excuse me, with some of the crowd can be very obnoxious at times, and it really takes me out of the show.
Yeah.
What are people going nuts over on the show? Like, what guys, well,
like,
what characters?
Like, as an example, like, I know, I personally, from the after the taping that had the Zayn Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls, just as an example, I thought that match was very good, but, like, I saw everybody was, like, going nuts, like, oh, this is WWE Match of the Year, stuff like that. One recent one that I've seen that has gotten a lot of press was the Paige-Natalya match. From, I want to say that aired last week, which I thought was a fine match, but it's like I've seen everybody, some people go as far as to call, like, Women's Match of the Year and whatnot.
No way.
And I'm just like, did we watch the same match? Like, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I enjoyed it, and I like both of them a lot, but it's like, it wasn't even, I don't think, the best match, women's match in NXT this year, let alone, the best women's match of the year.
Don't they know there's a thing called Shimmer?
You know that? I mean, like, you know, even if we're just going to talk strictly
mainstream, for that matter.
I was going to say, even if we're going to talk strictly mainstream, even like those Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim matches.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
wow.
They were tremendous.
Like, really, really.
Tear down the house.
I would actually call that first one potentially my TNA match of the year, and that's
right.
Who saw that coming, too? Remember that? After that, we were like, wow,
Taryn Terrell in the match of the year.
You know, like, and it's wild to consider, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but no, I mean, you know, I enjoy the fact that I get to see a lot of random guys that I used to watch, you know, many years ago, and now I get to see them in a WWE setting. I mean, I could never have told you that it's like, you know, oh boy, I'm going to see, like, Pac in a WWE setting. That's, like, pretty wild to consider, you know? I mean, not at all knocking him, but it's just like, you know, if you were to have told me that when I first saw him 7 years ago, it just would have been like, wow.
Exactly.
Very, very wild to consider.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I mean, for when you come to Florida, I mean, you know, Shine should obviously still be around, FIP, NXT will be doing their thing. I haven't made it to as many, not necessarily, well, I guess I should say non-FIP and Shine shows as of late, which, I mean, pretty much this year, I mean, I used to make it, like, a few more, but, like, you know, there's some guys in some of the non-FIP, indies that are good too that aren't used as often. I mean, like guys like Mike Cruz, Tommy Taylor, just to name a couple.
Tommy Taylor,
yeah. Yeah, they used to be on the.
Yeah, they were both. They were.
FIP,
yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it just sort of.
Tommy Taylor was real good.
Like, with the fact, I mean, I guess, you know, there were some, like, issues, you know, without getting too much into it. I mean, that just sort of split up the Florida indie scene a bit.
Yeah.
That, you know, sort of caused, like, one set of guys to go one way and one set of guys to go the other way. Which is unfortunate, I mean, but, you know, it is what it is. It comes with the wrestling, right?
I hear you. There's always fucking politics, man. It never ends.
It's like, you know, it's very cliche to say, but it's like, why can't we all just get along?
Right?
Yeah, why can't we be friends?
Yeah, you know, like, I feel like it would be best for everybody, but, you know.
Well, that's the business, you know.
Right.
As weird as it is, it's still as seedy and rooty as it always was, but it seems like everybody's trying to help each other, kind of like back in the day. Yeah. You had your spot, like, fuck everybody. Like, friends were friends.
Everybody was at war, right?
Yeah, no, but you know where I'm coming from. Like, now it seems more friendly and more, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that comes with, like, power of, like, things like social networking and whatnot. Like, you know, there are some negatives to be said about social networking with wrestling, but, you know, I mean, there's certainly positives to it as well.
Yeah, I guess Stan Hansen didn't have social networking back in the day, just spitting tobacco on you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yo, man, we appreciate you coming on and talking some wrestling with us.
Oh, my pleasure. To say the least, I mean, with the amount of shows that I tend to go to, you know, I can talk about a lot of wrestling for a long time. So.
Cool. No, cool. That's a good thing. How far back you go about?
I've been watching actively since I was about like 5. But as far as first shows, I didn't really get to start attending shows until about 2000. And then once TNA actually got here, like 2004, that was like really when I started to start getting out and attending shows more often. I mean, whether it be TNA, WWE, Independence. I mean, I've traveled for other shows, obviously. Right. I mean, you know, been to Illinois, California, Pennsylvania for a whole variety of stuff.
Who'd you go see in Illinois?
As far as shows I've seen, let's see. First time I went there, I saw AEW and Dragon Gate in 2009. Mm-hmm. I saw AEW and Dragon Gate again the year after. Uh-huh. And then last year, I did Ring of Honor, Chikara, and Extreme Rules.
Wow.
So it's like I've been to a whole variety of stuff.
I know you've made the trip out to Reseda, too, for Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I did that in August. I mean, that was my first time that I got to go there. So I was very, very happy about that. I mean, but not the easiest trek, I must say. I mean, you know, I obviously a lot of people always talk about, you know, oh, I desperately want to get out there, but it's a pretty decent trek, I will say.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list for 2014.
Well, do you mean Florida or Cali?
Cali.
We got a buddy out there, so we're crashing there.
Yeah, we have a buddy that moved out to L.A., so we got free lots.
And he knows it's coming, boy, and it's a lot of drinking, too.
And to say the least, I mean, Reseda and all that kind of stuff is very cheap. So.
Was it?
Good.
Yeah, cool. It's just... very wild amount of stuff that I've done, but very happy to have done it, you know? Got to support the wrestling, right?
In my
opinion, anyway, there's no better way to watch it than in person. So,
definitely. Absolutely.
You know, so whenever the option's available, anyway.
Yeah. Did you ever go back and do your homework, though? Do you go back and check out old shit, like shit that you heard about?
Yes, absolutely. Sort of stuff like preceding 90s is sort of like here and there to me, but as far as like 90s go, I mean, like I watch every now and then I get into random WCW Cruiserweight binges and just watch a whole bunch of those.
Yeah.
Like, I just had like a few friends over this past weekend and we were just watching a whole bunch of random Cruiserweight matches involving Ultimo Dragon. So
when he was wearing all 6 belts.
Eight belts.
Yeah, you're right. 8 belts. Sorry about that.
But yeah, I mean, like,
cool.
And then hopefully, haven't got anything set up yet, but hopefully, should be making the trip to New Orleans for WrestleMania next year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which that point, I've done like every media weekend. I want to say, with the exception of Houston. For several years now, and it's like, always like the best weekend of the year to me.
Yeah. I haven't gotten into it yet, but I'm going to get there I don't know why I didn't go last year, since it was like 90 minutes from my house.
Were you up here for this one?
Yeah, I was.
You were up our way.
Golly. did a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, but God, it was exhausting.
I decided to stay home because I knew I could watch more shows at home on iPay-Per-View than I can get to live.
Yeah, understandable.
So that's what I did. Now I regret I didn't go, though.
But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that weekend. I mean, especially with WrestleCon, I mean, it made it very convenient, which is always the thing with me when it comes to, wrestling weekends, where it's like, if it's really convenient and there's a good amount of them, I would not mind traveling.
Yeah. But did you go to the TNA house show?
No.
More than enough.
Oh, come on. I got enough of it in Florida.
Yeah. You're going to travel to New York to see TNA.
I'm joking.
Granted, that show did have Styles and Aries for the first time in, however long. I mean, granted, they've done it on TV twice now.
2 minutes
then,
and 34 seconds.
At the time, it's that's something that's sort of enticing, but I can't remember what it was going against exactly. I want to say CCW, and it's just I don't get to see CZW as often,
What, CZW? Do yourself a favor. If you want to start something, go back to the beginning of this year of CZW and watch what happened to that up to now. What an amazing year CZW had.
Really?
I mean, they've had a really good in-ring year. AAW, AIW, obviously PWG. Anything up in Canada, but CZW had a solid year.
Yeah.
Every month, great show.
Right. I mean, I've only been to two shows in the past. I mean, that was, part of the deciding factor for me doing them over Supercard of Honor. I mean, just for the fact that it's convenient.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor, I've seen pretty much the majority of the guys on there. CZW has, a few more randoms, and then factor in the point that you didn't have to travel into Manhattan from Evolve 19.
Yeah.
So that also helped.
Definitely. So, yeah, man, we appreciate you coming on. It's been a good time. We've gone a lot longer than we even planned to go, but it's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's usually a thing that happens with me on occasion. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll be quick. But then, I start talking wrestling, and I can't stop talking about it, unfortunately.
Good.
But I really appreciate you all inviting me on. Glad to come on.
Love to do it again.
Yeah, I'd be glad to come on again anytime.
Definitely, man. We'll have to have you on for FIP. We can talk FIP since nobody else does.
Now, you have your own show, bud.
Yeah, the old goddamn website.
We'll go crazy.
I was going to say,
about a 30-pack Thursday. I'll drink 30 beers and talk wrestling.
Indeed.
No, I won't. Because I'll have work the next day.
But yeah, thank you all very much.
Definitely, man.
No problem, bud.
It's been fun.
Yeah. I mean,
we can meet you.
You too.
No. If you're coming up this way or anything, going to be the show we're going to be at. Definitely want to meet you.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
eventually.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get it done. It's all good.
Yeah, no problem.
Free Admission FR, man. JP Nichols. Go check it out.
Yeah, you can follow it there, or follow me at IamHollywood, 2 underscores, and I don't tweet as much as I used to, but, I do every now and then.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Good, man. Be good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, man.
Later. We want to thank DJ Hyde and JP Nichols for both joining us on the program this week. And go over some in the notes, and then we'll get into what went down last weekend, what's going down this upcoming weekend. First things first, IWA Mid-South this past weekend, Mickey Knuckles returned, which had a surprise to a lot of people. She put out a post on Facebook about it. So, basically saying bygones are bygones, you got to move on in life, and it's no big deal, and yada, yada, yada.
Good for her.
Roderick Strong, to answer people's questions, Ring of Honor contract is expired, thus why he's able to work other promotions and pay-per-views like FIP this past weekend. He will continue to work with Ring of Honor in 2014, but at this time is no longer under contract.
Sounds good.
Speaking of no longer under contract, people, AJ Styles' contract has expired with TNA, and he's no longer in contract with them. And it's already been announced that on February 1st, he will be at Dreamwave Wrestling in LaSalle, Illinois, taking on Dreamwave champion Christian Rose. And it's already also been announced that he will be at 2CW's next show in Binghamton, New York next year for show number 100. Replacing the previously scheduled Johnny Morrison in Binghamton, New York.
Unbelievable.
2014 is setting up to be a good year in the indies. With Chris Hero and now AJ Styles back on the indie scene. Although I've heard that AJ Styles' asking price is pretty outrageous, so I don't know how many indie shows we're actually going to see him on.
It's not his asking price.
his asking price. As was mentioned earlier, DJ Hyde Wrestling Cares this weekend got down to their final two. They're going to be having Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano in the Race to the Ring finals. Adam Cole is the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and Ring of Honor champion, and Johnny Gargano is the Dragon Gate USA champion. So a rare champion versus champion match in Wrestling is Cares coming up early next year.
Real good.
Yeah. And why don't you say we get to some show results here. We already went over the FIP, so we don't got to go over that. This past Friday night, IWA Mid-South returned to action after being gone for a few months with Ian Rotten's cancer scare. But now supposedly he's got a clean bill of health, and they were back this past Friday night.
Good for him.
With a big-ass Christmas bash. And here's what went down, man, in Clarksville, Indiana. Jack Thriller defeated Necro Butcher, having Necro in the figure four and unable to get his shoulders up for a three count in the opener. After match, Jack put Necro back into the figure four and was screaming at him to say, "I quit." In a four-way ladies match, Thunder Kitty versus Randy West versus Heidi Lovelace versus Jordan Grace versus surprise Mickey Knuckles. Mickey pinned Randy after Shining Wizard to win the match. After which, Jordan, Thunder Kitty, and Heidi all attacked Mickey Knuckles. In a Soul Survivor 8-man tag, Isaiah defeated Shane Hollister, Shane Mercer, Simon Says, Christian Haim, Brian Skyline, Matt Cage, and Devin Moore, pinning Shane Mercer last. First blood match, Reed by Guy Bentley defeated Jimmy Jacobs with help from Trick Davis. It was noteworthy that Reed Bentley came out to Chris Hero's theme music. In a 16-man fight for your spot ladder match, or six-man, it was Josh Crane, Kerry Offal, Austin Bradley, Dale Patricks, Trip Cassidy, and Hebrew Hammer Joseph Schwartz. During the match, Dale Patricks took a scary fall on his neck on the floor and was stretchered out. Matt Cage tweeted that it was during a steady moonsault and he landed on his head. He said he was responsive in the locker room on his way to medical center. Matt Cage later tweeted that Dale thankfully was up and walking, hurt sore, but okay. Josh Crane ended up winning the match to get an IWA Mid-South contract. Chris Hero defeated Trick Davis with a knockout elbow and a kick to the head. Ricochet, oh, I'm sure that was tremendous. Ricochet defeated Jonathan Grisham with a shooting star press. Drake Younger defeated Christian Rose at a Drake's Landing.
Holy fuck.
Ian Rotten announced that Eddie Kingston versus Drake Younger and Christian Rose versus B-Boy would happen on their return January 11th.
Wow.
And in a three-way death match, it was Matt Tremont defeating Corporal Robinson and Ox Harley via powerbomb through light tubes on the Corp. After match, Ox and Corp buried a 15-year-long hatchet, hugged it out, and then got attacked by Team IOU, Nick Iggy, and Kerry Offal. Some mic work back and forth led to Ian Rotten announcing Corp and Ox versus Team IOU in a double dog collar match on January 11th.
There you go.
And that was IWA Mid-South Big Ass Christmas Bash. Should be available through smartmarkvideo.com soon enough. Moving on to Saturday. Dreamwave Wrestling returned with a loaded show this past Saturday night with the Fight Before Christmas, their annual year-end show. And here's what went down. Zero Gravity opened it up, defeating Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin with Shooting Star Elbow on Cannon.
Wow.
That was probably fucking awesome. Example, you know? It was announced that Zero Gravity will face the American Wolves on February 1st at Dreamwave.
They're American pit bulls.
Chris Castro defeated Ricochet with a triangle choke after a DDT. Cousin Bobby defeated Waylon with a roll-up. In the Dreamwave tag team title match, Marcus Crane and Alex Castle retained the titles, defeating Tyler Pringle, Matt Nix, Dan Lawrence and Judd DeJander to Vic Capri and Eri Davari when Crane got a roll-up to retain the titles. In the alternate championship title match, Reed Bentley defeated Marche Rocket to win the alternate title. It's Marche Rocket, that long-ass title reign, and finally ended at the hands of Reed Bentley this weekend. In a last man standing match, Nick Brubaker defeated Matt Cage after he hit Cage with the God as the Good as Gold briefcase. Cage can't answer to the count of 10. Prince Ali defeated Chris Hero after delivering a 450 on his arm and hooking it for the pin.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, Ali Hero, man. Sign me up. The Beck family defeated Gangrel, Luther, and Yabo the Clown when Mason Beck rolls up Gangrel. And in the main event, Dreamwave title, Christian Rose successfully retained his title, defeating Shane Hollister in the main event, and is still your Dreamwave champion. And it was also announced that February 1st at Dreamwave, it will be Christian Rose defending the title against AJ Styles. Dreamwave starting to step to the plate with some loaded lineups and good stuff. And we will have people on from Dreamwave right here on this show, the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, on January 29th, as we'll help them hype up their big February 1st season premiere for 2014. And that is what happened at Dreamwave this past Saturday night. Good stuff. DVD is available through smartmarkvideo.com. Also, besides FIP, on iPay-per-view this weekend was FWE, as they were available through our video with their Openweight Grand Prix final. And here's what went down from Corona, New York. In a live crowd exclusive, Colt Cabana defeated Eric Young.
I gotta see this.
I know. I hope that shows up on YouTube, man. Them two in a comedy match has a lot of potential to it.
Yeah.
An 8-man one-night tournament, second-round matches. Trent Beretta defeated Shane Strickland, Alex Reynolds, and Jorge Santi to get...
I haven't seen that name in a while.
To get Tommy Dreamer's spot. Tony Nese defeated Brian Kendrick. Johnny Morrison defeated Petey Williams. Sonjay Dutt defeated Chuck Taylor.
Holy fuck.
It was then Tony Nese defeating Trent Beretta. John Morrison defeated Ted DiBiase Jr. Angelina Love fought Ivelisse Velez to a double countout in a number one contenders match for the women's title. Team Young Bucks defeated Team Adrenaline Express in the elimination 8-man match. And in the main event, Tony Nese defeated Johnny Morrison to win the Openweight Grand Prix Tournament.
Real good.
Congratulations to Tony Nese this weekend in Corona, New York. And that's available now on demand through rfvideo.com if you want to check out FWE. And also this past Saturday, as DJ Hyde mentioned earlier in the show, Wrestling Cares returned with their last show of the year, as they were in Culver City, California. In the first round of the Golden State Championship Tournament for Forever, Hooligans defeated the Ballard Brothers. See, the Ballard Brothers still working in 2013. Drake Younger defeated DJ Hyde in a match where neither guy was allowed to eat. In the first round of the Golden State Tag Team Tournament, Oliver John and Timothy Thatcher defeated Ryan Taylor and Scorpio Sky. Semifinals for Race to the Ring Tournament, Johnny Gargano defeated Papa Don. Two Falls the One. Austin Aries was reportedly at the show, hanging out. In a Beat the Champ series, Catalina Lee defeated Tracy Taylor. In a Golden State Tag Team Tournament Trophy Finals, Forever Hooligans versus Oliver John and Timmy Thatcher went to a draw. The semifinals for the Race for the Ring Tournament, Adam Cole defeated Steve Anthony, 3-2. So like we said, they will have their finals coming up in January 18th in Gardena, California, to be exact, where it will be Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano.
No doubt.
And that was Wrestling Cares this past Saturday.
Cool.
Moving on to Sunday, Battle War returned as they crowned their first champion this past Sunday night. With Battle War 15, man. And here's what went down. Velvet Jones won a battle royal after last eliminating Killer Kern. The Rock'n'Roid Express defeated 3.0 in a tag team grudge match. The final moments of the contest saw Scott Jagged Parker stop his partner Shane Matthews from hitting Twiggy with a beer bottle. This led to an altercation between the partners, which saw Parker walk out on Matthews before Frankie the Mobster and Twiggy finally got their ultimate revenge on Big Magic. Yeah. It was the Mountain Vanessa Craven defeating Leon Sayer. TDT defeated Beef Wellington and the Green Phantom in a brutal hardcore holiday Christmas tree match. Montreal tradition. Radioactive Wave defeated the Tankmen, who were accompanied by the returning Mike Patterson.
And still enter.
And in the main event to crown the first ever Battle War champion, our guest from last week, Dirty Bucks Belmar, is your first champion.
Yes.
As he defeated Shane Hawk, Player Uno, Big Bad Quentin, Giant Tiger, and Speedball Mike Bailey in a scramble match to become the first Battle War champion. Congratulations to Dirty Bucks Belmar. In a controversial moment recently, banished Ryan Rogan made his way to the ring to attack Shane Hawk. While momentarily successful, Hawk was able to send Rogan out of the ring. This distraction led to Bucks Belmar taking advantage as he sent Hawk crashing through a table. He would then mount the balcony in the same fashion he did last year, delivering a shocking leg drop to capture the title this past Sunday night. Dirty Bucks Belmar, your new Battle War champion. And he was on the show last week if you want to go check out his interview.
Good job, Bucks.
And that was Battle War.
Dirty Bucks.
And finally, this past Sunday, Wrestling Is Cool ran a show in a snowstorm in Philadelphia. As they had Best Served Cold. Estonian Thunderfrog defeated Juan Francisco Di Coronado. Jolly Roger defeated Eddie Kingston via countout. Snow Troll defeated Missile Assault Ant. Jaka defeated Jervis Cottonbelly. It was Drew Gulak defeated Mr. Touchdown, what was said to be an awesome match.
Oh, look at this.
Biff Busick defeated Frightmare. Eric Corvus defeated Chuck Taylor.
Probably real great.
And the Devastation Corporation defeated the Colony in the main event. After the main event, Wrestling Is Cool owner Milo Schwitzler knocked out Gavin and revealed himself to be part of BDK, and Wrestling Is Cool is shut down. So they've had a different old faction from Chikara shut down each of these Wrestling Is Cools, if you're keeping track. And obviously, if you're not keeping track, Chikara will be back next year sometime, and they continue on with the storyline. Be interesting to see if this has helped or hurt when they start running shows again.
Social Security one.
Right? And that's what went down at Wrestling Is Cool. And that was last weekend. So what do you say we go over this weekend?
Yeah.
Start Friday night, baby. Shine 15 iPay-per-view WWN Live. $9.99 if you order before Friday. Shine, always a good time. And this Friday, man, 9 p.m. bell time, Ybor City, Florida at the Orpheum. Listen to this main event. Shine Championship on the line when champion Reign defends against Amazing Kong. Here's the deal here. Reign has said she is retiring at the end of the year, so this would be her last Shine match. So regardless, this Friday night, we should come at his show with a new champion.
Logic tells you.
Whether it's Amazing Kong or something happens post-match, or we get an impromptu match or something, this should be it for Reign. And that's all going down this Friday. Shine. But that's not it. Finally, one-on-one. This is worth the $9.99 itself. Jessica Havoc, one-on-one with best friend Allison Kay. How can you go wrong with that match? But also, losing team must break up. The American Sweethearts of Santana, Garrett, and Amber O'Neill take on the SNS Express of Sassy Stephanie and Jesse Bell Smothers.
Should be good.
You will see Mia Yim against Ivalice.
Real good.
Friday the 13th Massacre, Anything Goes. Leva Bates versus Navea.
Questionable.
Angelina Love versus Taylor Made.
That should be hot.
Mercedes Martinez one-on-one with Heidi Lovelace.
That should be real good.
Sojo Bolt takes on La Rosa Negra.
That should be good.
And in a rematch from Shine 14, it's Sue Young versus Solo Darling. Tickets are available now. Ybor City this Friday night. Orpheum, 9 p.m. sharp. Also available on WWN Live on iPay-Per-View. How can you go wrong on Friday night with a great show like that? But then that brings us to the big day. One of the biggest days of the year in independent pro wrestling, like I like to call it, Super Saturday. Because we got Cage of Death and we got Final Battle. Started off with Final Battle 2013 for the Manhattan, New York. In the Hammerstein Ballroom. It will be for the world title main event. Triple threat match, Adam Cole defends against Michael Elgin and Jay Briscoe this Saturday night.
That should be real good.
Ring of Honor champion Matt Taven defends against the Sicilian psychopath Tommaso Ciampa.
Shine it up.
You're calling him new TV champion, Uncle Mike says, this Saturday night. Tag team titles are on the line.
This might be a shine up, too.
When the Red Dragons defend against Outlaw Inc., a homicide, and Eddie Kingston. In a stretcher match, loser must stop using the pile driver. Only way to win is send your opponent out on a stretcher. It's Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen against Michael Bennett.
I've already voiced my opinion on this before.
In a special tag team match, Roderick Strong and Jay Lethal will take on Eddie Edwards and a mystery partner. And a tag team attraction will be IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions The Young Bucks taking on Adrenaline Rush.
Real good.
That's going to be great.
Fuck yeah.
In a strap match, Mark Briscoe will take on Silas Young.
Wow.
In a special challenge match, Matt Hardy will take on Adam Page. That's all this Saturday night, 7:30, Hammerstein Ballroom, New York City. If you're a Ring of Honor fan, it's the place to be. Hammerstein's a fun place to watch a wrestling show, too.
That's a good
solid
show. It's
Final Battle 2013.
It's a good solid show.
But at the same damn time, CZW Cage of Death. You heard us talk about it earlier with DJ Hyde. Let's run down the show in its entirety. This Saturday night, 7:30, live on iPay-Per-View, Flyer Skate Zone, Voorhees, New Jersey. Cage of Death 15, main event Cage of Death, Nation of Intoxication, Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, Lucky 13, and a mystery partner. Take on Drew Blood, Matt Tremont, Ron Mathis, and Rory Mondo.
Yeah.
With them guys in it, it's going to be sick, it's going to be crazy, it's going to be bloody, and it's going to be twisted. It's going to be Cage of Death. But also the world title's on the line with champion Drew Gulak defends against Chris Hero.
Amazing.
It's student versus teacher. For the World Tag Team titles, Blackout will defend against Juicy Product of JT Dunn and David Starr.
Real good.
For the Wire title, Alex Colon defends against Shane Strickland.
Amazing.
And the number one contenders for the Tag Team titles, Azriel and Bandito Jr. will take on the Beaver Boys of Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
Another great match.
In a showcase scramble, it'll be AR Fox versus Andrew Everett versus Latin Dragon versus Chuck Taylor versus Willie Mack versus Tony Nese. Is that going to be awesome or what?
Holy. Plus, tag team war. Jay Chris, Dave Chris and Navia, Ohio's for Killers, take on DJ Hyde and the Front, Sozio and Beth Buzik.
It'll be one-on-one in a stiff match. Davey Richards, Chris Dickinson, you wanted it. You're getting it this Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Plus,
Greg Excellence with Mama Excellence taking on Cherry Bomb's Freight Train. If Greg Excellence wins, he wins the services of Cherry Bomb. If he loses, he has to shave his whole body bald and live by Cherry Bomb and Pepper Parks rules and get in shape. And in women's action, it will be Kimberly one-on-one with Christina Von Erie. It's CZW. It's Cage of Death 15 this Saturday night, 7:30, exclusively on iPay-Per-View through RF Video Now or CZWiPayPerView.com.
Real good.
Always worth it. One of the best shows every single year. And then finally on Sunday, Smash Wrestling returns with Tapped Out.
Wow.
As they will make their debut in Mississauga, Ontario at the Can-Lamb Sports Complex. Listen to this show Sunday afternoon with a 3 p.m. bell time.
Fuck, man.
Main event, Lance Storm goes one-on-one with Chris Hero. Then we'll be the Overdogs of Sebastian Suave and Josh Alexander taking on the Super Smash Brothers.
Real good. Real fucking good.
It will be Triple Threat, Johnny Gargano, Alex Vega, and Brent Banks. Psycho Mike Rollins will go one-on-one with former guest of the show here, Hacker Scotty O'Shea.
Wow, they're really fucking packing it.
It'll be M-Dog 20 Matt Cross, one-on-one with Tyson Dukes.
The cyborg.
Vanessa Craven will take on Shanaynay.
They're fucking loading this card up.
And Kirk Warmack makes his Smash debut against Gregory Iron. Oh, this Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, Tapped Out.
Over.
It's Smash Wrestling. If you've never seen them and you're in the Toronto area, check them out, man. Smash Wrestling.
That's a real good card.
You're telling me, man. That's loaded.
Fuck.
And to close out the festivities this Sunday, Anarchy Championship Wrestling presents Delusions of Our Childish Days 2013 from the Mohawk. 6 o'clock bell time in Austin, Texas. Here we go with the lineup. AECW Hardcore Champion Matthew Palmer will respond to the 2013 Lone Star Classic winner Darren Childs' challenge from last month. It'll be Darren Childs, Chase and Silver, Jessica James, and Rick Starks taking on the Submission Squad. AECW American Joshi Championships on the line when Sue Young defends against Rhea O'Reilly.
Wow.
It'll be Scott Summers one-on-one against Bolt Brady. It'll be Sean Vex versus JoJo Bravo.
Yeah.
Barrett Brown will take on Jeffrey Gant.
Never heard of either one of them two yet.
The ACW Tag Team title is on the line with Jack Jameson and A Little Crazy. Take on The Business, which is Angel Blue and Ricky Romita. An ACW Family Christmas Deathmatch, the whole fucking team of Johnny Axel and Mr. B take on the Bad Boys, a Little Tony and Chavez Tuco. It'll be Scotty Santiago and Steve versus Dapper Donnie Brooks and Dylan Dunbar, plus a whole lot more this Sunday, Anarchy Championship Wrestling, Austin, Texas, at the Mohawk. And that is what's going on this weekend, man. Big weekend, big shows all over the place. And we'll be back here next week to talk to you all about it. We'll be live at Cage of Death. We will see Final Battle by the time we talk next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we're off the week after, right?
And we'll see Shine
on Friday night. So another great weekend, man. We'll have all of the details, all the reviews, and all that good stuff right here next week on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to do it for us this week, man.
We got to thank Deej.
Yeah, thank the DJ boss. Hyde.
Got to thank JP.
Thank
good
JP,
kid.
Man.
Good kid.
Good times, and we'll be back.
Talk wrestling with that kid all day long.
And with that, man, it's that time of night.
Oh, is it?
Hit the fucking
yeah,
music.
It is.
If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. With over 150,000 titles and virtually every genre, you'll find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial today by signing up at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio.